See you, mate.
Thank you.
I'm Sarah Warmby. A man wanted over the discovery of a teenage girl's body in a barrel has surrendered to Queensland police after 28 hours holed up in a Sunshine Coast apartment. Shannon Morris reports.
Queensland police have arrested 34-year-old Zlatko Sikorski following a highly complex and lengthy negotiation and surrendered without incident. He was found in an apartment block in Alexandra Headland on Friday afternoon, prompting a lengthy lockdown of the surrounding area. Sikorski's been wanted since Wednesday over the disappearance of 16-year-old Brisbane girl Larissa Bilby. Police claim he fled a Logan property and abandoned a ute with remains believed to be Larissa's in a barrel in the tray in nearby Stapleton. It's been confirmed the pair knew each other. Sikorski was taken to Maroochydore Watch House for questioning. Shannon Morris, Air News.
The coalition will crack down on parents who refuse to vaccinate their children by holding back on family support payments. Under the government's No Jab, No Pay program, Family Tax Benefit Part A payments will cop a fortnightly $28 reduction for each unvaccinated child from today. Minister for Social Services Dan Tehan says parents who don't immunise their children are putting their own kids at risk as well as the children of other people. The government provided $14 million towards free catch-up vaccination in its 2017 budget. Exemptions have been allowed for children assessed to have natural immunity or for whom vaccinations may prove harmful. A woman who drove into and killed a man being sick in the emergency lane of a Melbourne freeway is due to be sentenced tomorrow. 29-year-old Tara Brennan has pleaded guilty to culpable driving causing death and drug possession after driving into 31-year-old Alan Dunlop, who was beside a stationary car on the West Ring Road in May 2016. Brennan was spotted speeding and swerving between lanes for 20 kilometres before slamming into Mr. Dunlop's cousin's car in the emergency lane at Sunshine West, trapping him underneath her vehicle. Brennan tested positive to having used ice that day. Also in news, 14 inmates at the Alice Springs Youth Detention Centre had to be removed and taken to a police station after a violent incident in which two prison officers were injured. And single-use plastic bags will disappear from retail outlets across Queensland today, as shoppers are encouraged to bring their own bags under a push to slash plastic waste. Overseas, rallies have taken place in hundreds of cities across the US to protest against President Donald Trump's migration policies. The BBC's David Willis is in Washington.
The families belong together. March was planned before President Trump ended his administration's policy of separating migrant children from their parents at the US-Mexico border. But the organizers say the protests are every bit as relevant all the time the so-called zero-tolerance immigration policy remains in place. At the heart of all this are roughly 2,000 children who have yet to be reunited with their parents, despite the president's executive order and a judge's order to that effect.
And the Syrian army has seized more towns in the southwest as airstrikes pounded others that still held out against its rapid offensive, and rebels said they had begun negotiating peace terms through the government's ally Russia. This is Air News. Greater Western Sydney have stormed into the AFL's top eight for the first time since early May, edging Hawthorn by 11 points at Spotless Stadium. GWS key forward John Patton largely struggled last night, copping a painful blow to the knee during a ruck contest, registering three behinds and putting another set shot out on the full. But the former number one draft pick stood up when it counted most, booting the sealer from a difficult position after he was awarded a free kick with a tick under 4 minutes remaining. Earlier, Collingwood beat the Gold Coast by 39 points, Adelaide beat West Coast by 10 points, and Port Adelaide down Carlton by 21 points. Canterbury have ruled a line under a horror month with a 36-16 NRL win over an injury-ravaged Newcastle at McDonald Jones Stadium. The Knights lost Kalyn Ponga and Slade Griffin to worrying injuries during the first half last night as the Dogs snapped a four-game losing streak. Ponga is now racing to be fit for State of Origin 3, while Griffin was taken to hospital amid fears he'd suffered the fourth ACL tear of his career. There were also wins yesterday for Brisbane and Manly. Valtteri Valtteri Bottas has seized his first pole position of the Formula One season in Austria, and the Brumbies' Super Rugby Finals hopes remain alive after an upset 24-12 victory over the Hurricanes last night. Australian Independent Radio News.
Looking for something to do these school holidays? Join us at Royal Randwick this Saturday for the annual Randwick Community Race Day, supported by Randwick City Council. Enjoy free children's activities, including Nickelodeon's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and I Love Bubbles stage shows, plus face painting, pony rides, petting zoo, jumping castles and an exciting act soon to be announced. Join the fun for all ages at Royal Randwick this Saturday. Visit theatc.com.au.
G'day, Laurie Daly here. Ever wanted to know what's going on in an NRL player's head? Well, now the Tab app gives you exclusive tips, insights and analysis this NRL season, thanks to new NRL previews featuring myself. So get ahead of the game every game this footy season.
Download the Tab app and access new NRL previews today. Tab, we love a bet. Tab previews available for account holders only. Gamble responsibly.
On Sky Sports Radio, welcome to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock, over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith. Here's your hosts, Jimmy Smith and Ray Thomas.
Yes, we heard the highlights there from State of Origin 2 at ANZ Stadium in front of 82,500 people. We told them last week, Raymond, didn't we?
You were very confident.
New South Wales will win. We said it'd be a tight one, though. We like Queensland plus 9.5.
Listen, a bit of your call, too, by the way. Very, very good, James.
Thank you very much, Roman. It's a real mutual appreciation society here, isn't it?
Because I'm fair dinkum.
I sent you... Well, do you think I'm not when I talk about...
Sometimes I wonder.
I sent you a tweet on Friday. I really appreciated your schnitzel article.
Oh, okay.
That you did in the Daily Telegraph in the lift out there. So, anyway, yes, Ray and Jimmy, taking your thoughts on love
in
2018. All right, quickly, yes, 13. Oh, yeah, we can't express our feelings for each other here, Raymond. This is a man's program on a Sunday morning.
Correct.
Welcome to all our female listeners as well. 1353 53 is the open line number. Dare I say it, Raymond, massive program that we've got lined up for everyone today. We'll have our race replays. We've got Adrian Bott. Gary Portelli has made himself available despite the fact he's on a holiday with the family in the US. Mm. He's desperate for publicity, isn't he, Portelli? Fair dinkum. Zorba will tell us all the latest in the world of rugby league. What about the Manly Seagulls? Just when you think they're done and dusted.
I missed that game. What happened, James?
Lots of errors from both sides, but mostly from Penrith.
18-10. Manly win over the Panthers. Massive upset.
I've got to say, and I know Daly Cherry Evans is the captain, and I know we've talked about it before, but I'm going to ask Zorba today, has Jake Trbojevic ever been thought of as captain of Manly? He is just an outstanding leader. The pass he threw, I know it's not related to his leadership skills, but the pass he threw to Trent Hodkinson to win the game, just a brilliant piece of skill. He's such a good player. Jay Ford, well, he's on fire the last 2 weeks. He's had 12 winners in the last 2 weeks?
In the last 7 days. I think it's 11 or 12 in the last 14. It's extraordinary. So
we're going to have a chat with Jay. We've got the Event Cinemas quiz score update.
15-10, James Smith.
Well done, Ray Thomas. Yeah. Spot on. Dean Ritchie with all the latest from the world of rugby league. It was a big week for the Cronulla Sharks. Not only did they get a 3-point win against the Warriors on Friday night in controversial circumstances.
The forward pass.
Shane Flanagan also picked up another front rower, another middle forward in Aaron Woods.
Didn't he have an impact when he came on, Aaron Woods?
Ran for more metres than anyone else. He will do that. I saw a tweet from a friend of the show, Nick Tedeschi, who said, Aaron Woods has now been penalised for an incorrect play of the ball at the Tigers, the Bulldogs and the Sharks in the last 12 months. So there you go. But yes, he's a good pickup for them. It all depends. I think we've said it on this program a number of times. Everyone is worth buying. It's just a matter of what price you get them at. And I've got a feeling the Cronulla Sharks have got themselves a real cheapie in the form of Aaron Woods. Leo Schlenk from Wimbledon, be still your beating heart, Ray Thomas. Can you believe it? Roger Federer, aged 36, is the favourite at tab.com.au to win his next Wimbledon. How many Wimbledons has he won? Seven?
Eight.
Sorry, my mistake.
That's all right.
Serena's won.
Is Serena favourite for women?
Serena's second favourite for the women. So Roger's favourite at 275, Novak at 650, and Rafael at 8, along with Marin Cilic. And
Kyrgios is right in the market there. $15.
$15.
$17, sorry, yeah.
And Petra Kvitova is favourite for the women's. But Serena, just her, I think it's her third tournament back. $7, second favourite.
Will you watch much of it? Starts tomorrow night.
I'll try and watch as much as I can.
Sporting feast, man. They're getting no sleep. The World Cup, by the way, if you're just waking up, Ronaldo and Messi are out of the World Cup. France have beaten Argentina 4-3, and Uruguay have upset Portugal 2-1. France, I think, we expected to get through, but the Uruguay, that is an upset, re-Portugal.
Leo Schlenk will give us all the latest from Wimbledon, and we'll chat World Cup with Phil Moss. Tab talk with Trent Lanscow from tab.com.au, and of course we'll have a sports update from Tanya. So that's what we've got for the program throughout the course of today. There's lots of things we want to discuss in the world of sport. As we said, we haven't been able to do it. It was the Sunday night. It seems like an age ago now, doesn't it? But congratulations to Brad Fittler. Congratulations to all the players involved and the coaching staff. They have won State of Origin for just the second time in 13 years.
And what a game. One of the classic Origin games of all time. It was edge of the seat stuff right to the very end.
Yes.
The penalty try. What was your initial thoughts, James?
Called it penalty try.
Okay, yeah, I thought it was fair enough.
Why did Queensland not get their penalty try when Gavin Cooper was taken
Wouldn't have scored the try.
Correct. And that's the key difference. And so the response there from the officials was to send James Roberts to the sin bin, which still gave them a numerical advantage for 10 minutes that they did not exploit.
Defensively, they were fantastic, the Blues, in that 10 minutes. A couple of things. The Origin three teams are picked tonight or tomorrow, Jim?
Tonight and tomorrow,
okay,
yes.
Okay, question. DCE and Corey Oates. Why won't they be picked for Origin 3 for Queensland?
You'd have to think that they have an eye to the future, and Corey Oates would maybe be looked at as far as that left winger position, and maybe you can put Dane Gagai into the centres instead of Will Chambers and put Valentine Holmes on the other wing.
Even if you put Corey Oates on the bench, you bring him on as an impact player because he can
throw
the forwards.
For who?
Well, they need to win the match. And why isn't he in the squad? If he's not one of their best 17 in Queensland, I'll give up. And DCE, why isn't DCE in that team?
Well, watching DCE play yesterday...
I haven't seen the game, so how did he play?
No, he played well. Mm. He's very hard to play off. Like, he's very hard to get a structure around him. And that's, you know, people talk about the personality clash between DCE and whether it's Cameron Smith or Jonathan Thurston or whoever it is. It's not a personality clash. It's a playing clash. He runs across field and it makes it so hard to get some sort of... Like, how often do you see Tom Trbojevic flash down the right-hand side running off DCE set plays?
Mm.
Not that often. Down the left-hand side, where it's not DCE on that side, is much easier for Tom because he knows where the structure is going to fall into place. So that's...
As a game manager, couldn't he have done great things for Queensland in that last 10 minutes? Ben Hunt made some mistakes.
And see, that's where I think you're wrong. I don't think he is a game manager, DCE.
Kicking game, etc.?
No.
Under pressure?
No. I think he's an off-the-top-of-his-head player. You need a game manager... Okay. To play. That's why Kieran Foran and Daly Cherry-Evans work so well together. Kieran Foran runs the side.
Game manager.
DCE plays off the top of his head.
And in saying that, Ben Hunt then comes out against Parramatta, does exactly the same play that he mucked up in Origin.
Oh, I couldn't believe it.
Third tackle, kicks through St George score.
And he's
that took courage to do that, given he would have been carrying the scars from Sunday night.
He's having a rough night too. His kicking's not going well. He might have picked up an agitation to that cork that he had in the thigh. But in the big play of the game...
The Two big players stepped up, Hunt and Widdop.
He put a kick in that he'd got wrong 4 days
that
earlier.
That takes courage, Jim, because his game's been dissected since that. Callum Ponga looks like he's picked up a hamstring injury last night in the Knights game. That's big news, re-Origin 3, Jim.
Can you believe the impact that Kalyn Ponga had in his first 60 minutes at Origin?
Playing out of position, playing defensively, he did more tackles in one game than he said he did all year, yet he was fantastic. Defensively, didn't miss a tackle. When he had ball in hand, he was dangerous every single time he ran with the football.
So we put our hands up when we got it right, picking New South Wales and Queensland plus 9.5. We've got to put our hands up when we got it wrong. I thought he'd come on as a second pivot with McCulloch off and Hunt going to
He came in as a
middle forward, for want of a better term, and was just superb. So,
where would you play him?
For this Origin or in future?
If he's fit.
This Origin, 14, again.
Okay, in future then.
In future, fullback. He's the heir apparent to Billy Slater.
What a player.
No doubt about it. So
isn't he so good with ball in hand, though?
Yeah, but the beauty of fullback is you get to play that position.
I understand.
You play that way.
But what I'm saying is that second half, every time he had the football first pass off the ruck, it was danger signs, wasn't it?
But he can still do that as a fullback.
Yeah.
And that's what they have in front of them. So thoughts on the World Cup. How do we characterise Australia's performance
in
their three games? Mostly highlights, have got to be.
Okay. I reckon they probably did as well as could be expected, given it was a tough group. France and Denmark are two very, very good football sides.
Were we attacking enough?
Didn't have the strikers, Jim. Didn't have the...
Well, we didn't have the strikers on the field. We know that.
Well, Timmy Cahill couldn't have played 90 minutes.
Don't you realise in that game against Peru where
enough.
You go, right, we've got to win it, that you just take a more attacking mindset? Well, I'm going to put my hand... I'm going to ask this to Phil Moss.
I think they tried, yeah. But they just... weren't good enough. They created more chances in Peru.
Mm-hmm.
Just weren't good enough.
And our producer, Steve, who knows a little bit about football, certainly a lot more than me, but that's not saying much, he said, very hard to get a result out of the two European sides.
Correct.
that you know, and sure enough, there's France and Denmark playing out a nil-all draw.
Yep. No, it was... I think they played as well as could be expected. Actually, I think they played probably better, particularly in the France game.
So are we getting ahead of ourselves and saying, oh, they're disappointed they didn't make the round of 16?
I think if you knew your football, if we had got to the round of 16, would have been an overachievement, I think.
Okay, well, we can ask that of
Phil Moss.
Phil Moss. And the other thing we wanted to make mention of, Steve Smith and David Warner are back to cricket, albeit playing in Toronto.
That's created some criticism. Are you surprised by that? People say, when's a ban a ban? Now, this is outside of international cricket auspices, so to speak. Yeah. So they're entitled to do whatever they like.
Right, to a point, obviously.
In terms of cricketing, I'm talking about.
Yes. Are they allowed to sit in a New York bar and have a beer on their own?
I have to be careful here. Yes, they certainly are.
Yes, they are, right. Why do you have to be careful, Ray? Did it appear in News Limited Press?
Yeah, why'd you bring that up?
All right, so I loved what he was shopping. Was he shopping for real estate or not?
Was he
a forlorn figure? Tell you what.
Can we move on from that one?
Can I just say that Lisa Healy tweeted out the other day, she said, look, I'm just going for a beer at lunchtime by myself. Anyone feel free to take a photo of me and distribute it around. I thought, I like that tweet, so I retweeted
good
that
comeback.
One. Yeah, that was a
you
good
know
comeback.
You know what? I saw the Steve Smith interview after his first game. He got a 61.
Yes.
Dropped a catch. Took a catch as well. He's pretty happy with himself and happy with life at the moment. So he's come to grips with what's happened. And you know, I can't believe people are critical. He's playing cricket. Good luck to him.
I heard someone describe him during the week as disgraced. Former Australian captain Steve Smith. In whose world?
Yeah, I think it's a disgrace, the penalty they both got, quite frankly.
We highlighted last week, didn't we? Sri Lanka.
The captain
refused to come out for the game.
Now, that is bringing the game into disrepute.
And you know what he got? A one-match suspension. Overreaction from Cricket Australia.
And don't forget, find 100% of his match fee. That's very important.
I'm just clarifying.
Was
he stripped of any chance of earning a living over the course of the next 12 months?
No. And he was charged with exactly the same charge that Warner and Smith were charged with. I don't care about the variations, whether it was the lollies in his mouth or sandpaper. It's all the same charge. He was charged with exactly the same rule under Smith and Warner and got a one-match ban, which when it first happened, we both thought, well, he probably should be sent home from the South African tour, and that should be it.
And James Sutherland says that his resignation is nothing to do with the handling of that. Please.
Yeah.
Do you think we're all stupid? That's ridiculous. Anyway, we're looking in earnest for the next CEO of Cricket Australia, 1353-53. But what Steve Smith does do is give us our talk topic for today, mm-hmm. and that is superstars in obscure places, because if you looked at that game at Toronto, not a lot of spectators there.
A few Australians travelled over there, actually.
Well, fair enough, a fair bit of interest there from a media point of view, but when you looked at the stands, I tell you what, it was just a little overinflated Poitevin Grey game, which was the under 21 competition in Sydney Grade Cricket.
They brought the stands in. Have you got one?
Yes.
Mm?
George Best turned out for the Brisbane Lions in 1983. George Best, the fifth Beatle. He turned out for the Brisbane Lions. Four games, no goals, 1983.
Yeah, I can
imagine, though, how many pints he drank up there.
I can't remember that. I remember Robbie Fowler coming and playing in Townsville.
There you go. That's another one.
I got one.
Here we go.
You know the river in Alice Springs?
The Todd.
It's normally dry.
Yes.
The great Kingston Town walked along the Todd River once on his farewell tour. Does that count?
I knew it was going to either be Don Bradman, Roger Federer, or Kingston Town. I tell you what. You could put your house on that. Kingston Town on the Todd in the farewell tour. Did he race down the Todd?
No, just
walked.
Todded along.
Right, okay.
Who was the famous pitcher.
Was he waving to the locals or something, was he?
Was Malcolm Johnston
there with him? Now, that would have livened things up.
I don't think Miracle Mal was on top of the horse, anyway. Yeah.
Right, there we go. So, superstar sports people in obscure positions.
Okay.
That's turning out, you know. You can say, oh, yeah, they were visiting Niagara Falls or whatever.
Didn't
it was. But
Bradman play in New York once?
He met Babe Ruth. He met Babe Ruth famously. The greatest cricketer met the greatest baseballer at the time. I don't know whether he played in New York.
The Americans would have had no idea what Bradman cricket was.
Yeah. We did see Sam Burgess trying to hit a baseball over there in Denver. Actually did not a bad job, Sammy Burgess. So there you go. So.
Okay.
By the way, great to have Marty Tapau back in the country too after spending a number of nights in an airport over in the US. 1353-53, that is the open line number. Our talk topic today, superstar sports people in obscure parts of the world or playing in obscure parts of the world. And by the way, we've got a great prize courtesy of Sony Music to give away for our best caller on that. You can get us on the SMS as well, 0419 767 272, and don't forget the tweets at Big Sports WEND. We'll take a break here on the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. It's 22 minutes past 7.
The biggest names, the biggest games. The 2018 FIFA World Cup, live free and in HD on SBS. And feel closer to the action with over 35 camera angles on the 2018 FIFA World Cup app. Download now.
Lionel, what's the best kind of heater when it really gets cold?
Mum, there are so many kinds and they're all at Bingley.
I bet you don't know them all.
Mum, natural gas heaters, LPG gas, radiant, convection, charcoal convection, dual heaters, electric panel, fan heaters, digital ceramic tower heaters, oil-filled radiators and convectors.
Is that all?
Top brands like Rinnai, DeLonghi, Paloma, Cambrook, Everdure, Polo and Dyson.
No more questions.
At Bingley, we know heating backwards.
Okay, set them backwards.
Slow play of the ball from Jimmy, the not-so-jet, to Peachy, and Peachy just runs back to the same spot, and he's tackled. 4, 3, 2, 1. Forget about the play of the ball. Forget about the next play. The war is over. The battle has been won, and New South Wales are champions yet again.
Outstanding performance. Look, I thought New South Wales were the better team. They hung in there. Queensland gave it their all. They just lost their way. But for all the heartache and pain, the New South Wales supporters have stood as one, and they are absolutely wrapped with this football team.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Welcome back to the show with Jimmy and Ray, 7:23 on your Sunday morning. James, that was your dulcet tones.
A dulcet, I'm not sure we'd describe them as that. That was my tones. I've got to say, I feel for Laurie Daly. Here he is.
You kept talking. You didn't give him the chance to speak, maybe, or not.
What's that?
Sorry, keep going. Sorry.
Listen, I don't feel sorry for you on a Sunday morning, Ray. Some of the stuff you talk about off air, it's ridiculous. I can't let it go to air. And just
come
unacceptable.
On,
it's a family program.
Keep
all right,
truthful and honest here.
Okay. Oh, when have we ever done that? there he was praising the New South Wales side and praising the work of Brad Fittler, and rightly so, and they were playing against a side where there was no Cameron Smith and there was no Jonathan Thurston and there was no Cooper Cronk, and if any one of those three, let alone all three of them on the field, they would have exploited that advantage down Queensland's left-hand side. And yet he had the... it was a mark of the man to say, well done, New South Wales, standing as one as a team. Like, just...
Life's often about timing, isn't it?
It is always about timing.
For Laurie, just timing was all bad. Quick one. I see Nathan Cleary's come out with a really interesting comment post the Panthers-Manly game yesterday, where he's looking at, I know it's an old chestnut, but again, to revisit, trying to get the rep schedule all condensed into a 3 or 4 week window mid-season. He doesn't know how it can be done, and this has been discussed ad nauseum, but his point is football at NRL club level has deteriorated over the last few weeks, and that's a combination of player fatigue, the best players playing rep football not being eligible for NRL clubs, etc. It's a tough one, Jim, but again, it's one of the younger players, one of our best players, raising a very important point.
And he's echoing the thoughts of the general manager out there, Phil Gould, who's pushed for the same thing. I just think to disband club football for that long has a negative impact on it. Has a negative impact on it. What the right answer is, I don't know. I thought Sunday night Origins was going to be the right answer. Audience is down 12%.
That was surprising, wasn't it?
So there you go. Is it the
what
time
do you
slot on Sunday?
Do you go back to Sunday afternoon? Do you go to Saturday night? Do you go back to Wednesday?
All of these options will be discussed, but nothing seems to work better for State of Origin than Wednesday night.
It was really interesting. I thought it'd be a ratings bonanza last Sunday.
Yeah, no, it wasn't.
Anyway, hey, racing at Rose Hill yesterday had one of those rare things yesterday, James.
What's that?
Dead heat in the first. Toulouse and Deodoro.
Pohu Takawa just given a squeeze now as they start to up the tempo coming around the turn, and Corey Brown brings the filly a few horses off the fence. Bubbles and Troubles. Toulouse is the first off the bridle. Deodoro being pushed on, just laid in a little bit there, down to the 275. Bubbles and Troubles still in front. Deodoro responding to the urgings. It's Bubbles and Troubles a neck in front. Deodoro there's drawing level the outside. Deodoro, Bubbles and Troubles, Toulouse is still there, really lifting late. Deodoro with its head in front, lifting Toulouse. Oh, close one here. Deodoro and Toulouse bobbing in the centre. And a close-up, Bubbles and Troubles. There's only about
yes, it was close, Darren. Very close, in fact. It was a dead heat. So these are the horses we've spoken about a lot over the last few weeks, haven't
They've kept
Toulouse,
winning, haven't they?
David Payne, he's now going to take the Derby route.
Yes.
With Toulouse, which is what Ace High did last year.
You're all over this, Jimmy.
Deodoro, we'll get word from Gary Portelli. He's just getting off the teacup ride over at Disneyland at the moment, so we'll be able to get to him very shortly. But this stretched him out, hasn't he? Two runs ago, it was 1,000 metres. Then very lucky on the 23rd of June in that run at Randwick where he won just beat King's Trust, 1,200 metres. Now out to 1,400 metres. So what next for Deodoro?
Well, he's obviously a sprinter because he raced up, went past Toulouse.
Yes.
Toulouse, the longer that race went, the stronger Toulouse got. And
right.
So Deodoro, more a sprinter, maybe a 1,400-metre horse, potentially Golden Rose. Both have done great jobs this winter.
What distance is Golden Rose?
1,400.
Yeah. Okay.
And both very promising two-year-olds. The run of the third horse too, Jim. Don't sack this filly, Bubbles and Troubles. She's very good. She was second up at 1,400, did a great job. On to race four. Upset result. Gala Machi, the first win this season for the trainer and the first win in Sydney for the apprentice.
And a good gap back to the rest of the turn. Brook Magic's turns in front of Difficult to Get Ahead Away. Two further back to Amalak Millie grinding away, and Duchess Padrill making ground at the 300. Brook Magic still in front from Difficult to Get. Amalak Millie looms on the outside and looms large. Amalak Millie, Gala Mache's hitting the line well. Amalak Millie got to the front from Gala Mache and Brook Magic. Gala Mache's coming late. Gala Mache goes home best, and Gala Mache for the apprentice Quade Crow got up to win it from Amalak Millie and Brook Magic.
Crow is correct pronunciation. Thank you, Raymond. Quade Crow, well done. And Brett Conlon gets his first winner of the season.
And he has a couple in work down there at Cranbourne.
Good on him.
And for Quade, a former apprentice carpenter in Rockhampton.
Yeah.
Late starter in racing, started at 22. He's now 26. And look, it was very popular win because some of the jockeys were walking past as we were interviewing him after the race, and they were saying, give this kid a rap. No one works harder at Randwick.
Oh, good on him.
So even his peers have noticed his work ethic, and really good to see the young man do such a good job. on then to race five, and I like the look of this horse. Its name is Tornado Gal. No, sorry, I got that one wrong. Winter Cup, James. One less race you have to worry about. Yeah? Winter Cup, race six, great ride by Brenton Abdullah on Harper's Choice.
He's trying to slip them on Harper's Choice. Araja's come off the bridle, so say it. The favourites under immense pressure as they turn for home, and Harper's Choice wings three in front. From Araja holding second, then say it. Destiny's Kiss is five off the lead. He's starting to pick up, but he's got the ground to make up. Harper's Choice is well clear. Araja's only battling. Destiny's Kiss, he's still coming. He wants it, but Harper's Choice is three in front. Destiny's Kiss is coming hard. Harper's Choice, a lead clear from Destiny's Kiss, is running out of ground, and Harper's Choice got in. Harper's Choice went at a half length to Destiny's Kiss. He gave away
Destiny's Kiss. Unbelievable. Does it again. Nearly another winner for Jay Ford, but Brenton Abdullah gets the win on Harper's Choice. Now talk about form with jockeys. Now Brenton Abdullah, three winners yesterday, so you'd have to say, oh, you know, in great form. How do jockeys have form? You're either on the you know, $2.50 favourite, or you're on the $34 chance.
Well, this is a great example of that, Jim. A confident, tactical front-running ride on Harper's Choice.
Mm-hmm.
Rated it brilliantly.
Mm-hmm.
Had the courage then and the confidence in himself and the horse to start making his run about 700 metres from home.
Okay.
He basically pinched it because he rode confidently and he had trust in himself and his ability as well as the horses.
To rate the horse as well. Yeah. So there you go. Yeah, I'll accept that.
If that wasn't ride of the day, it was challenged in the very next by Jay Ford on Leopari.
Jungle Edge spins the corner in front of Dreamforce being cuddled in second. He's under the pump now, Jungle Edge, with Dreamforce closing in, and Flo is as well. The three favourites fighting it out. Dreamforce went to Jungle Edge. Flo the outside. It's Dreamforce a half in front to Flo. They're well clear from the rest. Dreamforce finding. Flo can't do any extra. Leopari late, but Dreamforce in front. Leopari flying the last little bit. Got him. Wow. Leopari, I think he got up to beat Dreamforce right on the post. Extraordinary finish.
We're going to speak to Jay Ford a little bit later on in the program. Can you explain to me where Leopari came from?
A long, long way back. Oh.
What about, I was watching the replay when I got home from the footy last night going, where did that horse come from? I had to rewind.
To be fair to Dreamforce, he chased from a wide barrier.
Right.
And chased Jungle Edge, who just has one speed, Jim.
flat out.
Yep. All the way, and he's held on bravely, but Leopari, like a shot out of a gun's come from nowhere and got up to win. Talking about stables in form, Gay Waterhouse and Adrian Bott just training winners for fun. Here's Coonawarra.
And Valentino Rossa back on the rails into the straight now. Dylan's Romance a length clear from Coonawarra, staying on in second. Then came Monasterio. Valentino Rossa with a good run on the fence, and wide out is the Avenger. Coonawarra takes the lead now at the 150 just from Dylan's Romance. The Avenger's winding up. Coonawarra in front from Dylan's Romance and the Avenger. Coonawarra clinging on, and Coonawarra wins it. Coonawarra from Dylan's Romance. Screamer charged through the centre and grabbed third, I'd say.
I tell you what, showed a lot of toughness in the straight too, didn't it, Coonawarra? Typical Waterhouse Bott horse on the pace all the way, and another good ride from Brenton Abdullah. We've got some SMS that are flying in about our talk topic today, Raymond. That's the end. Have we got that's it, race pace?
That's it.
Okay.
The feature 7:33. You're happy about that, aren't you?
Michael Jordan playing baseball for the big Birmingham Barons franchise. That comes from Dennis Rodman Jr. So thank you, Dennis.
Put that in perspective. Where's what level was Birmingham Barons?
Were they Triple A? Which is the
that
level?
Rings a bell. Yeah.
I thought they were the level below the Major League Baseball.
So he was pretty close. He wasn't far off.
But he only really got that because he bought the bus. He travelled everyone around in the bus. Right. Said, "You let me play for you, and I'll buy a bus." They went, "Okay, Michael, you're in." This is from Michelle from Dubbo. Good morning. Happy 1st of July. Yes, 1st of the month. Just heading out into a bracing 1 degree out there at Dubbo. Hope your aircon is pumping out some hot air this morning. That's Michelle from Dubbo.
Much more comfortable this week.
Thank you. Yeah.
This one's from Polly. Very important. Morning, Tanya Ray, Jimmy. That was no upset in the World Cup. Every child born in Uruguay is given a football and a Uruguay shirt. The child is taught to play with a ball, but you defend your life with this shirt on. That's from Polly, and that's true. I suppose you can say the truth for Portugal as well.
Absolutely. And then we get this one, Carl from Cronulla, who has sent in an obscure one. Frankie Dettori in any Melbourne Cup. He's just not meant to be there. How many did he knock down that year on Max Dynamite?
110, I think.
Thank you, Carl.
It was carnage. How did Tank Greg used to say it?
Carnage. And here's another one just before we go to a break here on the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. After Ben Hunt's ordinary effort to emulate Cooper Cronk in both origins, would it be unfair to label him Cooper's Pale Ale? That's from Bruiser. No, I tell you what, the listeners, Carl from Cronulla
on
and
fire.
Bruiser, on fire. We'll take a break. Any more listeners want to get involved in the program, you're greatly improving the standard. 1353 53, the open line number.
For more grunt, talk and comfort, go and see the man. Penrith Mazda are the BT50 experts. With the BT50 XT 4x4 manual, now $39,990 drive away. Let the specialists at the Mazda Youth Centre Penrith tailor a BT50 to your specific needs. With over 50 youths on display, you're sure to find the Mazda you're looking for. Penrith Mazda, family owned and operated. Mulgoa Road, Penrith, just off the M4. MD18808.
If you love a bet, then we bet you'll love our $100,000 projected first four pool on the Len Smith Mile at Tabcorp Park, Menangle today. That's right, $100,000. Don't miss a minute of the action with Sky Racing live on the Tab app. You can even watch while you scroll our great odds and bet. Download the Tab app or visit tab.com.au. Tab, we love a bet. Terms and conditions apply. See tab.com.au for details. Gamble responsibly.
Fiji Friday at Panthers Penrith gives you the chance to score one of 16 holidays for two to Fiji. Wouldn't that be good to go this time of year? Oh.
When you went to Fiji, was it this time of year?
No, it was January.
January, oh, okay.
It was hot, but gee, it was good. Naturally, though, Jim, you've got to be a member of Panthers Penrith. So what are you waiting for? Join today for just $5 and score a ticket in the draw straight away. Then earn one ticket a day just by swiping, plus additional tickets when you purchase food and drinks and when you mention the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend at the Members' Centre. Panthers Penrith, home to 11 fantastic restaurants, 7 bars, live entertainment, what are you looking at me for, and Fiji Friday, every Friday during June and July.
Where'd you go this week? Which restaurant?
Went to, is it Panarotti's?
Okay.
The pizza one, Mark loves that. Sign up today at panthers.com.au.
It's Jon Snow racing to the lead in the Derby. He beat off Harper's Choice. Hardham is surging at them. Jon Snow in front. Jon Snow from Harper's Choice's game. Jon Snow, another New Zealand victory in the Derby.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres. At Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
No, he hasn't been stuck in Denver after the New Zealand-England test match with Marty Tapau. Gary Portelli, who, of course, is happy to come on this program anywhere at any stage.
I'm not sure where he is.
He's on the phone right now from the United States, and he might be able to confirm the hottest rumour going around the racing industry and that at the moment.
Which is?
And that is he is in the line for the teacup ride at Disneyland. Gary Portelli, are you with us?
Yes, I am, boys. Thanks for the call.
Where are you, Gary?
I'm in San Francisco at the Museum of Science. So, amazing place.
Wow. Okay.
As you can tell, anything that they do in the States is on steroids.
Yeah.
This is just a fantastic place for kids in particular. You know, had a great holiday so far and enjoying the warmth from here. I'm hearing it's a bit cool there, boys.
Freezing. And whilst you've been away, though, Gary, the winners have kept flowing, so it's been a good
stay
team.
Away, Gary.
Yeah. We've got a good team of people behind us. See, that's the thing. If you've got a good team of people and you've got good horses, it should just flow, you know. So I congratulate all my boys and the girls at home that have been riding track work and turning up every day in the cold and keeping the horses winning. It's just makes the holiday feel a little less, I don't feel as guilty being away when the horses are racing well.
Fair enough, yeah. And this colt is Deodoro. That's 3 in a row. That's not easy to do, particularly in such a competitive racing environment as Sydney Saturday meetings. But he was good yesterday. I know he did head with Toulouse, but I've got a feeling, Gary, that both of these two-year-olds will go on to bigger and better things next season.
Yeah, look, David's got a big opinion of his horse. He's obviously improved with the gelding and he's heading towards the Derby, where our bloke was sort of a horse that was just below probably the better two-year-olds early on the season. Come back at his second preparation and gone to another level. So I'm not sure how we gauge him at the moment, but we're in a situation where he's won 3 Saturday races. There's no hiding now. We've got to step up the first grade. So he'll have a little let up and come back for the carnival. Not sure what we'll aim at just yet, but we'll obviously just sit down and work out a program in a couple of weeks' time and nice to be in the position. You know, I think he's won over $200,000 in prize money now. And, you know, that Bob's helps as well.
Just trying to understand the time difference. You would have been able to watch him live?
Yes. It's 2:30 in the afternoon here now, so... it was around about 6 or 7 o'clock last night. I've been watching it from the Racing New South Wales app. Thank you very much.
Yeah, nice one. Nice plug there. First over 1,000 metres, first over 1,200, and then first over 1,400. What do you think, and whether you've spoken to your staff yet, Gary, about what the best distance is for Diodoro?
Yeah, look, we've sort of always thought he was a miler, to tell you the truth. So to win over 1,000 first up was pretty exciting, because we thought, well, the best was... yet to come.
Right.
I thought Blake got him late yesterday. You know, he had two kilos more than the winner.
Yep.
The dead eater. And I thought of the furlong, it looked like we were going to win easily. And then he just started to really get, he just started to sort of plug late. And I think that was the weight difference. But, you know, it's his second preparation. And, you know, I don't know that he's just a wet tracker yet. We've got to see what he does when he comes back for the spring. But obviously, if we get a wet spring, then he's going to be right there. So I'm excited for everyone, the Derby team, the owners, a great bunch of owners, and it's nice to be in the position where you've got to worry about where you're heading.
Yeah, exactly. Well, he's kept winning. He's got a very fierce will to win, Gary, which he's shown all three wins. Gary, is this trip is just a family holiday? There's no business as well interspersed in the sightseeing?
No, just a holiday with the family. We often go away with some great friends of ours, Glenn and Lisa Morton, who owned a Gold Trail with us years ago, which is the Royal Ascot, etc.
Yep.
And we've taken a holiday with them and their kids. And, we're off to Vancouver and the Calgary Stampede next. We're looking forward to that part of the trip, that's for sure.
So when are you coming home, Gary?
Well, they keep winning, I'll just stay away.
Mate, I reckon if you're a horse trainer and you go to the Calgary Stampede, you can almost claim that on tax. I'd be looking at claiming the whole trip on tax. What's the best thing you've done in the US?
Mate, so far with my son, he's absolutely loved Legoland and Disneyland. It's been fantastic. So we did warn him from here on, it's the adult side of the tour, so he's going to be getting dragged around as I was through Legoland. So, but just a good to see my son so happy and so excited about seeing where everything comes from, really, you know.
No, exactly.
Well, let's hope he enjoys the Bellagio over at Las Vegas, eh? Surely that's next.
We'll see how we go next Saturday.
Exactly. Hey, look, good on you, Gary. Look, thanks for taking our call mid-afternoon over there in San Francisco. But, look, the stable's firing back home, so don't worry about Lauren's got it under control. Enjoy the holiday, and thanks for joining us, Gary.
No, you know, I love talking to you guys on a Sunday morning. I'd just like to say a big thank you to my team at home too, been able to let me rest, because I'm one of them guys that just can't relax when I'm on holidays. But they've done a great job, and really congratulate all the team at home.
Yeah,
good
fantastic.
On you, Gary.
Thanks, Gary.
Thanks, guys.
Gary Portelli there on the cable cars at San Francisco as opposed to the teacup ride at Disneyland, but enjoying his holiday, and the stable is still doing very well. Diodoro with that win yesterday. Dead heat yesterday. Talkback topic, easy. Andrew Johns playing for New South Wales on the cricket field. That's regards from Eagle-Eyed Phil. That is exactly right.
Well done, Eagle-Eyed Phil.
Yeah, it looked a little out of place, I've got to say. The eighth immortal, 1353-53 is the open line number. Let's get to Michael, who is on the line. G'day, Michael.
Hello, boys. It's Fitzy. How are you, boys?
Hey, Fitzy. How are you, mate?
Good, mate. Good. The missus is listening in the bedroom, so she's going to be a bit shocked at the moment.
Good morning,
okay,
Mrs. Fitzy.
Okay, you leave that stuff alone. We're a family program here, Fitzy.
How are you, Raymond?
Terrific, mate. You want to talk about the NRL draw, Michael?
Well, I've got a couple of things. The NRL draw. So, Jimmy, what about this one?
Mm-hmm.
After five rounds. So, I think we need to go back to playing each team once.
Mm-hmm.
So, 15 rounds, and then you split the comp in two. So, top eight, bottom eight.
Yeah.
So, after five rounds, you'd play the first Origin game.
Mm-hmm.
Round six would be an Origin standalone weekend.
Mm.
Round 11, do the same. And then after round 16, you'd do the same again. So you'd completely have a free weekend for Origin three times a year.
When do you play Origin?
Oh, that'd be that free weekend.
Yeah,
so
but
round six, round 11, and round 16.
What specific part of the week I'm talking about? Because Sunday nights is down 12%.
Friday night, so we can get involved.
Friday night is now 2 days short of preparation for the 7 days, which everyone thought was a little short for the Sunday game. So the problem with it, Fitzy, there is no perfect answer, and that's the difficulty around it. And the conference system, or whether you want to do something similar to that, the play each other. You can't play each other home and away once. That's too much football.
Yep. Someone was saying yesterday, they do this in Super Rugby, but Super Rugby doesn't work that well, does it? So that's not a platform to follow, is it? Is what I think. You know?
I don't know who said that to you, but anyone who says yes, we should do what Super Rugby does. Not sure that's actually. I am sure that is not the answer.
Exactly. Yeah. This debate's been going on for many, many years. You're right, Jimmy. There's no perfect answer, is it?
The only thing about a Friday that would see Friday's not a great TV night either. They like Sunday
Isn't
nights
it?
Because that's
what a Friday
stay
night.
That's a stay at home night. Right? Sunday night's a stay at home, and it's traditionally been a really strong television night. But it's with that particular type of programming. It's your 60 Minutes and your Sunday night program where people want to find out what's happening in the world and then they get ready for their week.
Yep.
Friday night is a night of people going out. So people miss what's on television. They might go out and watch it in a pub, but then...
So what are you saying? We're going back to Wednesday night?
So yeah. Wednesday night is a night where people are at home, they're getting a sense of the end of the week, and for whatever reason, it just seems to be part of the magic formula for Origin.
Yeah.
So it's a very difficult decision to make. 13:53:53. Anthony's on the line. G'day, Anthony.
Morning. Listen, Tiger Woods was caught playing in some obscure parts of the world. Does that count, or...?
We'll accept that. We'll accept that, Anthony, but please move on quickly.
Yeah, before I speak about Origin, I know, I'm sure it was an oversight, Ray, but you missed the race replay of Race 8 at Scone on Monday where there was a horse that won the Big Vin, which had form around King's Trust, which Frank...
Oh, the Big Vin. Yeah. Won at Gosford.
Black Hawk with a Big Vin.
And also there was a good run there by Gainer Williams' horse that I'm a Cool Kid.
Yeah, anyway. First up after about 2 years.
Yeah. The form around King's Trust was very important.
Exactly.
And with Origin, there's two quick points. Firstly, I know Brand is too nice at first to make it about himself, but I'm pretty sure that's the first time he's been involved in a winning series. He never won one as a player.
Correct.
So well done to Brandy, well done to the team, but it's good for Brandy because he's the champion. And if he wasn't the best player on the field, and that's an argument, Jake Trevoy, which was easily our most invaluable player in the last 55 minutes.
Influential, wasn't he?
He's the one that got us home, really. He was a captain stock.
He got player's player, Anthony.
Did he? No.
He got player's player. Yeah.
It was quite obvious he just...
He had an impact, didn't he?
Can I say this, Anthony? I'll throw this at you and Ray.
Yes.
If they'd have given the man of the match to Billy Slater, I wouldn't have been surprised.
No, he was probably might have been the best individual player in the field, but... I'd say Jake was the most valuable player in the field for a winning side. You know, he got the same.
100% agree with Anthony, actually.
And if I quickly can say about Robbie Farah, I'd like to appreciate his honesty. He spoke to the BSB on Friday, and he said he appreciated that the South Club put the interests of the individual ahead of the team, because Robbie knows all about putting the interests of the individual ahead of the team. So. Well done for his honesty.
We'll see him at Leichhardt Oval today. Can you believe it? Back to Leichhardt. Mm. You'll never walk alone. There's the great photo of him sitting up on the scoreboard there.
Wasn't it?
It was an incredible moment. Incredible moment after that game back in 2016. And Robbie Farah will be
back
there.
Back at Leichhardt. Yeah.
And the expectations are that everything has been sold out from a corporate point of view. Not that there's much corporate at Leichhardt Oval, but the last corporate ticket sold as soon as they found out that Robbie Farah was going to make his return. Big game, that one, against the Titans. We'll speak to Dean Bulldog Ritchie with all the latest news for teams later on in the program. 13:53:53 is the open line program. And we are...
Taking a break, John.
We're going to take a break, yeah.
Race the best with the best. Dynamic Syndications and Rosehill trainer Gerald Ryan invite you to consider our flashy colt by exciting new sire, Verrazano. The champion son of champion sire, More Than Ready. From Let's Get Famous, dam of Group 3 winner Let's Make a Deal, and daughter of champion mare, Let's Elope. Shares in our dynamic Verrazano colt, trained by Gerald Ryan, are only $5,625. Visit dynamicsyndications.com or call 1-800-619-999. AFSL 3360808.
Lionel, what's the best kind of heater when it really gets cold?
Mum, there are so many kinds and they're all at Bingley.
I bet you don't know them all.
Mum, natural gas heaters, LPG gas, radiant, convection, charcoal convection, dual heaters, electric panel, fan heaters, digital ceramic tower heaters, oil-cooled radiators and convectors.
Is that all?
Top brands like Rinnai, DeLonghi, Paloma, Cambrook, Everdure, Polo and Dyson.
No more questions.
At Bingley, we know heating backwards.
Okay, set them backwards.
Happy Moment probably just has it at the moment. Happy Moment over on the far side. Silk Dreamer, Recondite, and Fame Game and Christophe Lemaire with Volchev over on the far side trying to make a bold bid to get there. But it's going to be Fame Game. Fame Game wins the Megaro from Volchev.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Just before we have a chat with Adrian Bott following the win of Coonawarra yesterday, we're getting our more SMS and feedback about obscure places for sporting stars. This comes in from our great mate Michelle from Dubbo. Superstars in really obscure places. Apache Cat, all the way from Living Legends, guest appearance at Cobar Miners Club Race Day,
wow.
May 2016. What a huge effort. And
is there a photo there?
Photo to prove it. So there you go,
Apache Cat. Oh, well done. Michelle on the ball. Write that little name down on potential.
Double asterisk, Michelle. Double asterisk there.
Yesterday, Tullock Lodge had two entries in the Rose Hill meeting. Scratched Alasio, relied on Coonawarra, kept the winning momentum going for the stable. Adrian Bott's on the line. Adrian, good morning. And the stable is going great guns. And so is this horse, Coonawarra.
Good morning, Ray. Good morning, Jimmy. Yeah, no, he's, I guess when horses sort of really hit that patch of form, I guess they really do continue to improve, and it's certainly the case with him. Just physically, it's just amazing to look at him. Like when I got to the races yesterday, I just couldn't believe how well he actually looked and how well he was doing. It's just a horse showing all the signs that he's the work and the racing's just really, you know, really agreeing with him at the moment.
I've got to say, Adrian, when I looked at the replay last night and saw that Coonawarra was an on-pace horse, I wasn't surprised with the Waterhouse Bott stable on that. Is that a natural thing for Coonawarra? Is that something that you've trained the horse to do?
Yeah, look, he's never been blessed with a real acceleration or turn of foot, so he sort of had to rely on a high cruising speed and
yep.
toughness. So I guess that's why he sort of really hasn't been effective over the shorter trips. And you go back to his first up run here, he resumed at Rose Hill in probably a similar sort of grade over 1100, and he just couldn't get warm, you know, and probably reading it on form on paper, I guess. And even watching the run, if you didn't know the horse, you'd say it was probably a disastrous run. But sort of knowing the conditions that he needed and what sort of trip we needed to get down to, I actually thought it was a really good run, even though he probably ran 8 of 9 sort of thing.
Mm.
So we were able to drop him back to Canterbury, get him up to the right trip. And then again yesterday we saw what he was able to do over that right distance. Mm. You know, he is effective where it is a good, strong test. And, I thought they seemed to roll along there yesterday. And, Brenton sort of was caught wide there early, but he was just able to really take his time and roll across and not use too much, just to be able to slot in just behind the leader.
And you mentioned toughness too, and I thought that was evident in the straight too. At different stages under pressure, Coonawarra just didn't buckle at all.
Yeah, it's funny. Both jockeys the last two starts have sort of said he's won quite comfortably, but he's still got plenty left in hand. It's really the challenge for him's been keeping his mind on the job. Adam thought at Canterbury he went to put two or three lengths on him, and sort of when he got past him, he just sort of stargazed a bit and wandered out to the horses, and Brenton was a little bit similar to yesterday in his feedback. So hopefully that's sort of sign that we're still working with a horse that has that improvement there.
Mm.
And still sort of piecing it together if that's at all possible at this stage of his career.
Yeah, there's still upside with him, that's for sure. Adrian, great week for the stable. It's been a great season for the stable, but earlier in the week, confirmation came through that English had secured her slot in the Everest with Damien Flower,
yeah.
which is great news for the stable. I know you'd still love to get prompt response into the Everest, but English, high-class mare, Group 1 winner 2 starts back, and she deserves to be there, Adrian.
Yeah, she really does deserve to be there, and I guess there's been nothing more exciting than having that slot secured this week for the stable, and it's going to be a real buzz going into the new season, and having that already in place, so we can really sort of plan towards that. But certainly feel there's a bit of, unfinished business for her last year. You know, we were a little bit disappointed with the result we achieved with her, and felt she certainly could have been, certainly more more competitive and want to show that this time around. So she's, you know, she really deserves to be there, and I think she'll certainly make a case this year for us.
Adrian, do you take a little bit of a hit in negotiations? And I'm not sure whether you're involved in that as well, but do you take a little bit of a hit there because you know now you've got an exact preparation for English and realise what her grand final is going to be, and you can do that with some surety?
Yeah, look, luckily I had to stay. I was able to stay out of some of the negotiations, mainly between the Kellys and Damien Flower. And
right.
I'm sure both parties are tough negotiators.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to get in the middle of that. But look, luckily they were able to come up with a good deal. I think that's you know, fair for everyone involved. And yeah, just having that all in place now, I think really does give you that comfort and that sort of closure that you can. Plan and particularly whether we try a different lead up to what we did last year with her, sort of even though we were secured quite early last year, whether we've been able to learn from the preparation last year and probably even learn what we've you know, what we've done differently with English in the last 6 months, and whether we can now go into the race with just a little bit different sort of lead up than maybe what we felt was necessary 12 months ago.
Fair enough. Now, Adrian, just quickly, I know Gay Waterhouse, your co-trainer, is away in Europe on holidays. How often do you keep in contact? And I guess she'd be happy knowing that English is in the Everest.
Oh, yeah, she's absolutely delighted. And, you know, she's been delighted with everything over the last, you know, sort of month or so. And, you know, the results we had up in Queensland. But I'm speaking to Gay daily, twice a day. You know, she loves being involved and loves to know exactly what's going on, and fingers still well and truly on the pulse. So, you know, even though she's away and trying to take a bit of a break and clearing her head, you know, that's sort of, you know, there's still plenty of involvement, and, you know, she loves being, you know, heavily involved in every aspect.
Exactly.
Still no invitation to join her on the Mediterranean yet, Adrian.
Yeah, geez, you're doing it two times a day.
That's the invitation. That's the daily phone calls, plural.
I feel as though I'm there.
Fair enough. I'm sure she's sending photos soon. Look, here we are by the pool, Adrian.
when she's back, I got a few plans as well. So, yeah, she's... Yeah, Gay's great, like, always very encouraging. That, you know, I guess when we are here, it is so full on and demanding, and 24/7 the industry. I think everyone in the industry needs to be able to sort of find that time, you know, whatever stage it is throughout the year, just to be able to, have that time to get away and relax, regroup, and so that you're able to, I guess, not burn out over the course of the year.
No, it's an excellent point, Adrian, and there's people within the studio right now who should take heed of that. And I'm not referring to me either, by the way.
Like my wife pointed straight at me, Adrian, when you were talking. There's a message there.
Good on you, Adrian. Hey, we've got to fly, but appreciate your time again on a Sunday morning.
Thanks very much.
Thanks, Adrian.
Adrian Bott there. Always good fun to chat. Good win with Coonawarra. Just before we get a scratchings around New South Wales with your wife, Tanya Ray, who did point directly at you when Adrian was talking about...
Went in one ear and out the other. I'm tipping.
Take a holiday. We've got the Magic Man on Twitter has told us about sports people in obscure places. Ben Cousins, prison, was all he wrote, which... You shouldn't laugh at it. But
it's very clever.
It's true, yes. Over to you now for the first time, Pen.
Alrighty then. Good morning all. Racing today at Taree and Mudgee in New South Wales. I had a quick look at Taree program today. There are a couple of races named after some famous Taree State of Origin boys, Boyd Cordner, Latrell Mitchell and Danny Badiris.
Yes.
That part of the world?
Yeah. Be a good day out there. The weather there is fine. The track is soft 6. The rail out 3 metres the entire circuit, and there are 19 scratchings. Race 1, take out number 10, County Crown, number 10. Race 2, number 11, Our Winnie, number 11. Out of race 3, number 7, Von Galetta, and 10, Stellara, 7 and 10. Race 4, take out 11, Scotch Miss, 14, Gold Runner, and 15, Jess Dadash, 11, 14, and 15. Race 5, number 9, Poet's Blush, 14, Scotch Miss, and 15, Butterball, 9, 14, and 15. Out of race 6, number 6, Andriana, 8, Ears Are Burning, and 13, Snippin' It, 6, 8, and 13. Race 7, number 2, Ondo Passa, 5, Arasaya, and 14, True Zippo. 2, 5, and 14 from race 7. And race 8, take out 13, Sweatball. 14, Caleb Will Do, and 15, Clever Gent. 13, 14, and 15 from race 8 at Taree. Mudgee, the weather is fine, the track a soft 7, the rail true, and 18 scratchings. Race 1, take out 8, Killer Miller, number 8. Race 2, number 9, Starlight Treaty, number 9. Race 3 is clear. Out of race 4, number 5, Spy's Shadow. 7, Capella di Piazza. 9, Cool Sea. 12, Miss Brefni. And 13, Puppet's Gift. 5, 7, 9, 12, and 13. To race 5, take out 7, Fine Rialta, number 7. 13, Meg's Gem. And 16, Quite Frankly. 7, 13, and 16 from race 5. Race 6, number 1, Pippi's Pride. 4, Boya. 6, Turcotti. 7, It's Pa. And 11, Prontissimo. 1, 4, 6, 7, and 11. And race 7, take out 5, Sparsholt. 6, Killer Miller. And 7, High Delight. 5, 6, and 7. Out of race 7 at Mudgee.
Thanks, Tan. Tips today, Taree. We can get, hopefully, a bank in the first two races at Taree. Race 1, number 2, Second Island. Into race 2, number 9, Spanish Steps. And then on to Mudgee in the first. Race 1, number 2, Stellara. Be short enough, Jim, but look, should win. Race 1, number 2, Stellara. Into a good each-way chance here. Race 6, number 2, King's Tariff.
All right, we'll put those out on social media as well. Oh, wow. You've gone wide there, Raymond. Well done. We'll put those out on social media and make sure you can get those tips. Might even repeat them later on in the program. We'll take a break now. We've got the news chasing us. Keep coming with those obscure places where you're seeing sports stars. We're enjoying those. We'll also enjoy Zorba next hour. We're going to have a chat with Jay Ford and the event, cinemas, quiz, all that coming up on the Big Sports Breakfast weekend.
I'm Sarah Womby. A man wanted over the discovery of a teenage girl's body in a barrel has surrendered to Queensland police after 28 hours holed up in a Sunshine Coast apartment. Shannon Morris reports.
Queensland police have arrested 34-year-old Zlatko Sikorski following a highly complex and lengthy negotiation and surrendered without incident. He was found in an apartment block in Alexandra Headland on Friday afternoon, prompting a lengthy lockdown of the surrounding area. Sikorski's been wanted since Wednesday over the disappearance of 16-year-old Brisbane girl Larissa Bilby. Police claim he fled a Logan property and abandoned a ute with remains believed to be Larissa's in a barrel in the tray in nearby Stapleton. It's been confirmed the pair knew each other. Sikorski was taken to Maroochydore Watch House for questioning. Shannon Morris, Air News.
The Coalition will crack down on parents who refuse to vaccinate their children by holding back on family support payments. Under the government's No Jab, No Pay program, Family Tax Benefit Part A payments will cop a fortnightly $28 reduction for each unvaccinated child from today. Minister for Social Services and says parents who don't immunise their children are putting their own kids at risk as well as the children of other people. The government provided $14 million towards free catch-up vaccinations in its 2017 budget. Exemptions have been allowed for children assessed to have natural immunity or for whom vaccinations may prove harmful. A woman who drove into and killed a man being sick in the emergency lane of a Melbourne freeway is due to be sentenced tomorrow. 29-year-old Tara Brennan has pleaded guilty to culpable driving, causing death and drug possession after driving into 31-year-old Alan Dunlop, who was beside a stationary car on the West Ring Road in May 2016. Brennan was spotted speeding and swerving between lanes for 20 kilometres before slamming into Mr. Dunlop's cousin's car in the emergency lane at Sunshine West, trapping him underneath her vehicle. Brennan tested positive to having used ice that day. Also in news, 14 inmates at the Alice Springs Youth Detention Centre had to be removed and taken to a police station after a violent incident in which two prison officers were injured. And single-use plastic bags will disappear from retail outlets across Queensland today, as shoppers are encouraged to bring their own bags under a push to slash plastic waste. Overseas, rallies have taken place in hundreds of cities across the US to protest against President Donald Trump's migration policies. The BBC's David Willis is in Washington.
the families belong together. March was planned before President Trump ended his administration's policy of separating migrant children from their parents at the U.S.-Mexico border. But the organizers say the protests are every bit as relevant all the time. The so-called zero-tolerance immigration policy remains in place. At the heart of all this are roughly 2,000 children who have yet to be reunited with their parents, despite the president's executive order and a judge's order to that effect.
And the Syrian army has seized more towns in the southwest as airstrikes pounded others that still held out against its rapid offensive, and rebels said they had begun negotiating peace terms through the government's ally, Russia. This is Air News. Greater Western Sydney have stormed into the AFL's top eight for the first time since early May, edging Hawthorn by 11 points at Spotless Stadium. GWS key forward John Patton largely struggled last night, copping a painful blow to the knee during a ruck contest, registering three behinds and putting another set shot out on the fall. But the former number one draft pick stood up when it counted most, booting the sealer from a difficult position after he was awarded a free kick with a tick under 4 minutes remaining. Earlier, Collingwood beat the Gold Coast by 39 points. Adelaide beat West Coast by 10 points and Port Adelaide down Carlton by 21 points. Canterbury have ruled a line under a horror month with a 36-16 NRL win over an injury-ravaged Newcastle at McDonald Jones Stadium. The Knights lost Kalyn Ponga and Slade Griffin to worrying injuries during the first half last night as the Dogs snapped a four-game losing streak. Ponga is now racing to be fit for State of Origin 3, while Griffin was taken to hospital amid fears he'd suffered the fourth ACL tear of his career. There were also wins yesterday for Brisbane and Manly. Valtteri Bottas has seized his first pole position of the Formula One season in Austria, and the Brumbies Super Rugby Finals hopes remain alive after an upset 24-12 victory over the Hurricanes last night. Australian Independent Radio News.
Don't whinge and whine about the traffic. Think of the wine you'll have at home. A glass of Windy Peak Cabernet Sauvignon by De Bortoli, of course. Here's the traffic.
The Western Sydney Careers Expo ends today. Don't miss over 140 exhibitors. Sydney Showground, Sydney Olympic Park. See westernsydneycareerexpo.com.au. In Asquith, we've got a truck broken down northbound on the M1 at Keringai Chase Road. If you're off to the airport, look out for changed traffic conditions on Marsh Street approaching the International Terminal. Traffic is starting to build too. And in French's Forest, lane closures in both directions on French's Forest Road and Lambie Road due to roadworks. Want an instant tax refund? Call 1-300-TAX today. They're Australia's largest provider of instant tax refunds. 14 locations, or do it online at taxtoday.com.au. I'm Solomon Gates, number one in racing on Sky Sports Radio.
Window shopping takes on a whole new meaning at Wideline.
Take a closer look at Wideline's showstopper of a showroom at Ricebury.
That's where you'll find an extensive range of residential, architectural and commercial aluminium windows and doors.
And you can't look past their timber windows and doors either.
Customer parking and a dedicated kids room make for hassle-free window shopping at Wideline.
Now open at 593 Botany Road, Rosebery.
Only 700 metres from Green Square Station.
Wideline.
G'day, Laurie Daly here. Ever wanted to know what's going on in an NRL player's head? Well, now the Tab app gives you exclusive tips, insights and analysis this NRL season, thanks to new NRL previews featuring myself. So get ahead of the game every game this footy season.
Download the Tab app and access new NRL previews today. Tab, we love a bet. Tab previews available for account holders only. Gamble responsibly.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Sydney's weather today, mostly sunny, some patchy fog in the west early this morning, then areas of morning frost also in the west, just light winds, probably no rain today, fortunately, mostly sunny, top temperature though of only 17 degrees, a coolish day. Jimmy, what's the current temperature at Tempe and the forecast for Taree today?
Tempe right now is 8 degrees, a maximum expected of 17 degrees. And at Taree, a shower or two today on the 1st of July and a top temperature of 16 degrees.
Short side, on the deck, still the last tackle. Winnip decides to kick towards the post.
You're listening.
Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Yeah, welcome back for the second hour of the program. This hour we've got Zorba very shortly. We'll have a chat with Jay Ford. We've got the Event Cinemas quiz too. Mm-hmm. Score update there, Raymond.
15-10, James Smith in front.
Dean Bulldog Richie with all the latest in rugby league. And, of course, we'll be taking your calls. We want our talk topic revisited. That is obscure places that sports people have performed. And we've got this one that's come in on SMS. If you want to send an SMS, 0419 767 272. Jimmy and Ray, obscure appearance. What about Kevin Keegan? Playing for Blacktown in the old NSL, regards the Dundas Tiger.
Did he?
We thought, Blacktown. There we go, 1985, Blacktown City, 2 games, 1 goal for
goal.
Kevin Keegan.
Righto. What's the most obscure place you played at, James, during your celebrated rugby league?
Celebrated. Barrow. We played at Barrow in the far north, in the you know where it is, in the Lake District. Just near a town called Penrith.
That's right. We drove through it.
Yeah.
We drove through Penrith
place
on the way to Edinburgh.
Place
yeah,
called Barrow. Yeah. Barrow up there in England, I tell you what. Bitterly cold is
right.
What's happening in Barrow. I've got to say, every Fiji Friday night through June and July, Panthers, Penrith, a holiday for two Fiji will be won. You've got to be a member, of course, so what are you waiting for? It's only $5 to join Panthers Penrith, and you'll score a ticket in the draw straight away, plus the chance to earn extra tickets every day, including when you mention the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend at the Members Centre. Hello, I'm Ray Thomas. Sign up today at panthers.com.au, and, of course, Panthers bring us our score updates, and we'll do that very quickly before we get to Zorba. 20 points to 18, the Dragons
steal it
against the Eels. 18-15, the Sharks over the Warriors. 9-8. After Latrell Mitchell missed the goal from in front. 9-8, the Storm over the Roosters. Manly, 18. Excuse me. Penrith, 10. The Bulldogs, incredible. 36 points to 16 over the Knights after an injury to Kalen Ponga. Mm. And then the Broncos, 26 points to 22 over the Raiders after the Raiders led 16 points to nil.
That was using the old cliche, a game of two halves, that one, wasn't it?
Classically, Broncos, yeah. Brought to you by Panthers. Remember, sign up to be a member at panthers.com.au. Time now to speak to Zorba, who I'm not sure whether he was out at Penrith, but he would have been pretty proud of the team, Manly, who picked up a good win. Time to say g'day. G'day, Zorb.
G'day, guys. Wyangala Dam is where I played.
Wyangala Dam.
Wyangala Dam, beat that.
Wow, where's that, Torb?
Up near Cowra.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They were building a dam there, and they put a side in the competition up in Group 8 in Goulburn when I played there for a little while.
Gee, well, I never heard of it, Wyangala Dam.
Well, if you played at Adaminaby before they flooded the town, then you would have been playing underwater right now. So they flooded the town. They moved the town because they put the lake in there. But that's a good one, Wyangala Dam. We'll go with that, Zorb. Just quickly, just watching what he did on Sunday night and then watching what he did yesterday. And I know, you know, DCE and all that sort of stuff. How much consideration do you give to Jake Trbojevic being captain of your club, Zorb?
Well, I don't think he wants it at this moment in time.
Oh.
I think further on down the track he probably would. But, look, he's a great mate with Terry Evans. He wouldn't take it. That's what sort of a bloke he is. Look, he leads by his by the way he plays. Terrific player, terrific young man. You know, both those boys are the heart and soul of our club at the moment.
Yeah.
Hey, so that win under so much adversity. You had your star prop stuck in Denver for 1,000 years, unlikely to make the match. The club's been under siege for a long time.
Hang on a minute. If he didn't play, it would have been embarrassing for Marty Tapau.
Well, that's the point people like Trent Barrett are trying to make, though, aren't they? What are you saying?
He always put his hand up to play. He only got back on Thursday morning, and he was a captain's run on Friday.
Oh, is that what you're saying? Sorry, Jim.
He decided then that he was going to play, so there was never any doubt about it. But I think the fact that it took so long to get home, and I think there's a lot to be looked at before we entered into such games again. The clubs, you know, are obviously up in arms about it, and I don't think it'll happen again, but it was a bit of a schmozzle, wasn't it?
Oh, it was.
Well, England left early.
Well, they were back on Monday morning.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, Wayne Bennett beat the State of Origin players home by 2 hours.
There you go. That's amazing.
That's incredible. You know, we're talking about that, and we're talking about player welfare. That was 31 degrees played at big altitude. I know, talking to some of the players that played, they've never been out of breath as much as in that game in the opening 15 minutes. And I think that's something we've got to look at. And also, while we're talking about player welfare, you know, are the NRL doing everything they can to ensure badly injured players are given every benefit in their exit from the field? At Penrith last night, Manly's Dylan Walker was taken from the field in a human chair, carried off by two club officials and welfare people. And Penrith giant Viliami Kiku was made he had a painful exit with a knee injury. Where are the Medicaps? Mm. They should be a must at every ground. And before the listeners rush to the phones, I know there isn't one at Brookvale, and I repeat, there should be one at every ground, and that should be a criteria for every club, and it should be an absolute necessity. I'm surprised the Players Association don't insist on it, and I think the NRL, about time they did. And talking about Medicabs, sad to see the Newcastle Knights played Griffin on one last night. That could be his fourth ACL.
That was tough to watch, wasn't it? I've got to say, Zorb, we have to have our top eight now, don't we? Given that loss to the Raiders last night, it's just a matter of where they finish.
Yeah. You know, that 26-6 second half blitzing by the Broncos, it closed the door for Canberra and probably everyone else, his final eight hopes. 16-0 leaders at half time. The Raiders' big men faded badly in the second half. I agree. The top eight looks settled. Looking at it, there's clubs that have had buys, like the Dragons have had a buy. So South, if they win today, they've got a buy up their sleeve.
Yep.
So they're ready to jump on the minor premiership. And they play after the Cowboys. They have a buy. They play the Bulldogs, the Tigers, and the Eels. So they'll be on top inside 4 weeks.
Gee, fair enough. Yeah. Hey, Sorb, the Storm Roosters game. What a controversy out of that game. What's your take on the Smith Cronk situation?
Well, it just stood out. It stood out, Ray. I mean, I was particularly looking at where Cooper went straight after the game, and he was showing love to all of his ex-teammates. Yep. Some, I don't think, were even there when he left. But when he got to Smith, it was just the quickest of handshakes on the run and then off to another hug. But there was nothing for Cameron. Smith looked a bit embarrassed. And it's obvious that there's an issue between the two, but, you know, that happens in sport, it happens in life. Doesn't matter a great deal, but it's there for us all to see now.
I was talking to Brett Finch yesterday, and he, of course, played at the Melbourne Storm and so knows those guys intimately, and he said, look, they've never been the best of friends. They're two completely different people. Cameron Smith's been, you know, he's been the married for a long time and had the family, whereas Cooper Cronk was the single guy, obsessed by football, and basically he's taken a while to open up. And he said, it's a classic situation where you've got two people who work so well together, but are not necessarily friends away from work.
That happens.
You don't have to be, Jimmy.
No.
I didn't like all my teammates, and I'm sure they didn't like me. But, you know, you do your best for your side, and for the time you're training and for all the time you're together, well, you stick together. But, you know, in your own private time, you're entitled to do what you like. And, you know, I don't make a big thing about this, but there is. You know, they're not great friends by the looks of it.
No. I mean, I get a text message from Ray during the week, and I think, oh, here we go.
I knew this was coming, Pete. I knew
have the humour this bloke, I suppose, for a little while.
Oh, but is he tipping you a winner?
No, he's not.
No.
Well, that was as soon as he became an owner, Zorb, King's Trust doesn't need me anymore. He's moving ahead and picking a better thing.
Hey, Zorba, we talked about it.
We talked about owning racehorses. I'm still trying to get over Swazir, which I'm not back.
Oh, yeah,
no, I thought you knocked back Star Witness as well.
No, Swazir.
Swazir, oh, God.
I had the choice out of Swazir and a New Zealand stayer called Romeo George. And I chose Romeo George.
Oh, dear. That's a tough one.
That's a timing element.
Top hat and tails. Cousin and I would have loved our Scott. Anyway.
Yeah, good.
That's my hardest luck story, and I'll take it to my grave.
Yeah, no, it happens.
I want to ask you, Zorb, about when is the best time of the week to play Origin? Ratings down 12% on Sunday for what we thought was going to be a huge game. And it was a great game of footy.
Yeah, it was a great game of footy. It's obvious that we're going to go back to Wednesdays. You know, Channel 9 pay a heap for it.
Yep.
And they're entitled to have it when they want it. And it won't be Sunday night anymore, that's for sure. While we're on Origin, it's taking its toll on some players, especially the playmakers. No coincidence that Nathan Cleary, James Maloney, Ben Hunt, and Cameron Munster all had quiet games in this weekend round so far.
They did.
Cleary and Maloney looked in need of a rest last night in the loss to Manly, while Hunt and Munster, they were quiet in lucky wins against the Eels and the Roosters, respectively. Geese and George were lucky on Thursday night, and I thought the Sharks, well, they got home on a blatant forward pass to win that game against the Warriors. They looked home, and they can just lose a game from impossible positions to lose a game, the Warriors. And I thought the Storm were lucky. You mentioned before Latrell Mitchell missing that kick in front. They were lucky wins in the first three games.
Exactly. Hey, Sorb, a couple of big games today, and this game at Leichhardt's going to be emotional and important for so many reasons. Tigers versus Titans.
Yeah, look, the Titans aren't a bad football side. Mm. Don't wipe them off today. They've got more than an outside chance in this game. I'm tipping the Tigers on the fact they will welcome Robbie Farah and Moses Mbai, two class players, into their side. They've been struggling of late. They need a win. Maybe Leichhardt will get it for them, and I'll take them 1-12. And I think the Rabbitohs are certainly to put a big score on the Cowboys. Just on the Roosters, they should not have lost that game. And that game, I thought, was, you know, in front of another good crowd down in Adelaide, 17,500. I just thought the referee stifled the game. Grant Atkins actually looks like he's looking to give penalties. He doesn't look like he's enjoying his refereeing. He should be called aside and told how lucky he is to be involved in our great game and to enjoy it and let himself... he comes from a great rugby league family. I'm sure he understands the game and likes it. He's just got to get a better attitude, I think.
Is he he's a country boy, isn't he? Is he from...
Yeah, his old man played for Parramatta.
Yeah.
The winger.
Is it Graham Atkins?
Graham Atkins.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought he grew up in the country. I must be thinking of another referee. So, your Zapper, it's Tigers 1-12.
South
13-plus?
Yep.
Okay, all right, Tigers 1-12, South 13-plus. I want to ask you too, Zorb, and maybe it's a changing face of football clubs as we know them. Gareth Holmes has left the Seagulls, and he's been asked to be the football manager at the Bulldogs and help them clean up that mess there. Do we think we're seeing a bit of a change in the way football teams are run as an organisation?
Like sheep, everyone's following everyone else and looking for the magic formula. You know, it's worked at the Dragons.
Yes.
With Peter Mulholland, it's worked at a couple of other clubs, and so everyone's chasing the Holy Grail. The Bulldogs are chasing their tail at the moment. I thought they were pretty good last night, and they used some young players there. I thought a particularly strong game from young Remus Smith, who's the son of former player Tyrone Smith, who manages a lot of players. Good young kid, and he scored a try, two try assists. I thought he was good. And Kerrod Holland, who's a Newcastle junior, scored the first two tries of the game for the Bulldogs. They had nothing to lose last night. They looked good. But as soon as Kalen Ponga went off, you know, in the 15th minute, it was nil all at the time, and the Bulldogs grew another league from there.
Yeah.
I think they'll finish the season okay, the Dogs.
Yeah, well, let's hope so. They've taken their medicine right now, and let's hope that it's a bit quicker out of there than what a lot of people are predicting. Good on you, Zorb. We'll appreciate that. We'll speak next week.
Okay, boys.
See you, Pete.
There he is, Peter Peters, with all the latest in the world of rugby league. We'll take a break here. We'll come back. We'll have a chat with Jay Ford. We'll take your calls as well on 1353 53, and we're looking for obscure places in which sports stars have bobbed up, and this comes in from our mate Brett from Broadbeach. Before we go to the break, Raymond. Morning, Jimmy and Ray. Obscure places for sports stars has to be Kempsey as a suburb of Brisbane, and aren't we Queenslanders happy to have GI? Yes, I don't know how that quite works, Brett, but you've got him.
Lane Beachley for Planet Ark. We're celebrating 15 years of cartridges for Planet Ark. Since the program was born, over 38 million cartridges have been saved from landfill and turned into road surfaces, pens and garden beds. Like other teenagers, Cartridges for Planet Ark continues to grow thanks to you. So keep up the great effort. Drop off the used cartridges at your participating retailer or sign up for a free collection box for your work. Visit cartridges.planetark.org.
Another quick success story about radio. A marketer needed to promote a cruise. It was a big cruise. She heard that
1 in 3 people respond to a radio presenter endorsement.
So she got some radio presenters to go on a cruise to give an endorsement. The presenters had fun. Their audience heard the fun.
and followed it online. One in three listeners decided they should check out a cruise too.
Told you.
Soon the big empty ship was a big full ship. All thanks to radio. Alive with personalities, alive with engagement. Visit radioalive.com.au.
Penrith Mazda, awarded Mazda Master Dealer 2017. Where you're sure to get the best deal during the end of financial year clearance. There's over 300 cars in stock and more than 50 utes in the ute centre. You are spoiled for choice. The end of financial year clearance at Penrith Mazda, your family owned and operated Mazda dealer. Mulgoa Road, Penrith, just off the M4, MD18808.
Drove past yesterday on Mulgoa Road.
Have you got your ute yet?
Not yet. I'm working on that.
Okay.
18 months later.
Six acres or five?
No, definitely. I had a quick look and I thought to myself, yeah, that's 6 acres if ever I've seen it.
It's somewhat from Happy Clapper. It's somewhat a length clear from Happy Clapper. It's somewhat hanging on. He wins the Doncaster, a half length to Happy Clapper.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Welcome back to the show. We're Jim and Ray, 8:25 a.m. on the 1st of July. Jim, gee, the first 6 months have flown through.
New financial year, Ray. Don't we start to look at things in a positive fashion? All that hard work you do.
Oh, gee, the tax man loves you. Hey, look, I'll tell you what. Talk about a man in form.
I'll tell you, bloke who's got the tax man chasing him.
I wonder what Jay Ford thinks. He's been riding in great style. Double yesterday. He's been good enough to join us on the line. Jay, good morning. Congratulations on your form. And Jimmy was asking me this morning, where did Leopari come from? Oh.
Morning, guys. Yeah, he pulled that one out of the woodwork. But he really surged late, didn't he?
Yeah, it's fantastic.
And I don't know what the plan was from Chris or whether he left it up to you, Jay, or what was happening. But you seemed to find the fence and then realise that there was the opportunity there and the horse just exploded, especially that last 100. Did you realise he had that in him?
Look, he has before. He's sort of been a horse who's been a little bit inconsistent, but most of his form, his good form, was over the mile to 2,000 metres. So
right.
On his day, he does have that, but you know, usually we haven't seen that over the shorter trips. But obviously with the good speed yesterday, it played into the hands of a solid miler like Leopari.
Yeah, no, he certainly hit the line. Terrific win in the Civic Stakes. Jay, you did ride two winners yesterday, but you just missed on Destiny's Kiss. He carried that 61. On the home turn, I thought he might run last in that small field, but you just can't give up on this horse, can you?
No, that's his style. He's only a little fella, but he's got a heart of gold. And, he's in terrific form for a horse who's 9 years old. And just the style of the race yesterday probably was against us a little bit with the big weight on his back. The leader was able to get away with some cheap sectionals and then sort of drop us around the bend, and he hit his customary flat spot. But the last 300 metres, he really rallied strong to the line, and we just ran out of time to pick him up. But in defeat, he was very gallant.
Mm. Tornado Gal was your other winner that Ray mentioned in race five. How important was the gate in this one, Jay? Because you out of gate two, just found the fence straight away and pretty much put the horse to sleep.
Yeah, look, she's quite a nice horse, very progressive. She's won three on end now, and obviously she skipped a few grades to go to Saturday grade yesterday. But from that gate, it just gave us the option to ride her as we pleased.
Mm.
We were able to just put her straight to sleep, three back on the fence, and to pick our way through them. And she was dominant again, so she's got plenty of upside, and she'll only continue. I think the best is ahead of her. In another 6 or 12 months, you're going to see a horse who probably could nearly end up at sort of stakes level.
Yeah, no, she's flying, as are you, Jay. 10 winners in the 7 days, including the double yesterday. Jimmy was asking me, how do you quantify a jockey being in form? Is it more about the horse? But I think a jockey, it's much like a sportsman, isn't it, Jay? You get in a zone and things just seem to happen for you, whether it's confidence. Can you explain it, Jay?
Yeah, no, 100% what you just said. Obviously, you've got to get on the right cattle and, you ride a few winners and you grow in confidence. And like you said, things just happen for you. So it's been a very good week. And I wish there was a few more weeks like that.
So if that's the case, Jay, you can can you convince yourself, or part of the job is convincing yourself that you are in form and maybe playing tricks with yourself and giving yourself confidence when perhaps results haven't suggested that it should be there?
Sometimes. Like, it's like anything in any profession. You have your runs, your good runs, your bad ones. But I suppose I've been around long enough now that, you know, there's plenty of ups and downs, and you just sort of stick to what you know and you keep turning up and doing your best, and those things, you know, change and turn, and the luck changes for you eventually.
Mm. Yeah, no, I'll keep riding that wave. Hey, Jay, a rare Sunday off for you. I know you love your footy. Is that what you try and do when you get a rare Sunday afternoon off?
Yeah, pretty much. That's about it. Watch the footy and just spend time with my daughter and do things around the house and mow lawns and
all those
just like any other normal guy.
Hang on a minute. You've been out all week riding winners. Now you've gone home. You're looking after the kids and mowing the lawns. You are husband/father of the year, Jay Ford.
If I could have it my way, I'd be at home every day, but I've got to go out and pay the bills.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Absolutely. Well, your form's been outstanding. Congratulations on that. Well done yesterday, the couple of winners, and really appreciate your time on a Sunday morning.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Jay.
There he is, Jay Ford, a man in form. What about MG playing for Yamina? Mark Guy played for the Yamina Bunnies. Didn't he chase after a person in the crowd who was giving it to him? That's from Steve. Well,
I remember once...
Sounds like MG.
Remember the Paul Kentish story?
He played against him, didn't he?
Yeah, Kenty, a good friend of mine, wrote a story about MG, and MG didn't like it.
Right.
And Kenty was still playing at the time. It happened to the next club game against MG. MG lined him up, and all week, Kenty thought, what am I going to do here? And he just thought, first chance I get, I'm going to get the ball and run straight at him.
And to his credit, he turned up, Paul Kent, didn't he?
Yeah, MG did clean him up, but they respected each other after that, and they're good mates now.
Yeah, there you go. That works. What about this one? Golfer Neil Armstrong on the moon. That's from the Milkman at Yass. That's very clever.
Yeah.
That is very clever. Well done, Milkman. And just about this one, Zorba is right about Wyangala Dam, as my dad was one of the touch judges at that match. Just a piece of trivia. Cheers. Henry from the Bay. There we go. What do you know? Goulburn playing up there. The Goulburn Stockman, Zorba would have been playing for. 1353-53, the open line number. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with more of your calls. It is 31 minutes past 8 on the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
For more grunt talk and comfort, go and see the man. Penrith Mazda are the BT50 experts. With the BT50 XT 4x4 manual, now $39,990, drive away. Let the specialists at the Mazda Youth Centre Penrith tailor a BT50 to your specific needs. With over 50 youths on display, you're sure to find the Mazda you're looking for. Penrith Mazda, family owned and operated. Mulgoa Road, Penrith, just off the M4. MD18808.
If you love a bet, then we bet you'll love our $100,000 projected first four pool on the Len Smith Mile at Tabcorp Park, Menangle today. That's right, $100,000. Don't miss a minute of the action with Sky Racing live on the Tab app. You can even watch while you scroll our great odds and bet. Download the Tab app or visit tab.com.au. Tab, we love a bet. Terms and conditions apply. See tab.com.au for details. Gamble responsibly.
Shot, but it won't get them the bonus point. It will just deny the Vixens if they're level pegging for the quarter. Oh, yes! Well, I think the entire crowd here in Sydney inhaled to draw that one back.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Welcome back to the show, Jimmy Ray. 8:33 on your Sunday morning, July 1. Jim, I'm working under duress here because I've...
You haven't got your computer.
Yeah, so you'll have to read out some of our text messages to read your talk topic.
Well, this one's Phil from Harrington. Says, Tanya mentioned Tari's State of Origin players. Also, women's State of Origin rep, also from Tari, Holly Wheeler. Mm. So race 7 today at Tari is the Holly Wheeler handicap.
There we go.
How good's that?
Yeah, so,
sorry about that. There you go. We've mentioned Kevin Keegan. Greg Norman and tree lopping. That's from Bowie at Newey.
I think Bob was asking about a horse called Woman, the Frankel Moore Joyce.
Yes, you wanted me to read that one out.
Yeah, and I can say that she is back in training, Woman, so we'll see her probably end of July, I reckon.
superstars in obscure places. Sub-Zero doing great work with the elderly and sick in his hospital visits. That's
he
from
does,
Donkey.
Actually, and with the kids and that, he goes a lot of children's hospitals as well. He's a remarkable old horse, Sub-Zero.
Yeah, they reckon he's almost human, isn't he? Jack Gibson played Mark Up for Grenfell.
Wow.
Didn't know that. I know he played for the Roosters and he played for Western Suburbs in those grand finals. Of course, he famously came in 1963 and said to Noel Kelly, not our day today.
Yeah.
And they knew they weren't going to win.
Why?
Because the referee.
How do you know that?
Oh, Jack used to know his way around town. He was able to get himself information that other people perhaps weren't privy to.
Fair enough. This is from the deck chair. The great Lester Piggott once rode at the Wellington Boot. 9-time English Derby winner.
You're kidding.
Riding at
no.
the Wellington Boot. I think, yeah, it's actually right. He came out about 1990 by memory. Or
and he rode at the Wellington Boot.
He must have ridden the Wellington Boot.
Hope he didn't go to the Cow and Calf. But anyway, that's my thoughts on...
You'll never let them forget that, will you?
What about this one?
They had
too?
A busy night that night, Jim.
They did.
Yeah.
And they did have an electrical outage. Which cost us about an hour and a half.
Now you're telling us, I've disparaged them for 2 years.
However, we just happened to be there the time they had it. They were very busy with an electrical outage.
We're never welcome back there, by the way.
Yeah, thank you.
We're never welcome back.
Well, when's the next time you think you're going to Wellington?
I might have to go for the Wellington Boot next year. They'll bar me too.
You and Lester Piggott. Can we just get our man from Master Monkey?
Always
looks at life a little bit differently, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Stars performing in strange places. What about Boris Becker in the cupboard? I gave it a shot after Boris made it famous, but I couldn't serve properly. He's a different sort of fellow. Master Monkey, we've got to say.
From that one. Pretty quickly, I think.
Let's go to the open line now. 1353 53 is that number. Dougie's on the line. G'day, Doug.
G'day, mate. Happy birthday today.
Are you kidding?
Happy birthday, Doug.
Happy birthday, Dougie.
Thanks very much, Jimmy and Ray. I've got two topics today. Corey Norman going to Manly and Teddy Goodwin's had played with Forbes Rugby League Club Magpies.
He did. He did.
I think at the end of his career?
I think he won comps with the Forbes Magpies.
That's end of his career.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, if I can remember, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Lord Ted Goodwin, the player.
Corey Norman, now there's speculation, there was talk around Manly, then there was talk around, I think Newcastle would like to see him there, and wouldn't that strengthen up their spine? I think Corey's preference is to go to the Gold Coast, but I think what we can all be assured of, unless there's changes off the field at Parramatta, that Corey Norman will not be at Parramatta next year.
Okay.
That's exactly right, depends on your performance on the players.
Yes, yes, you'd have to say, look, if you look closely at that game, and I know they were... Let's call them unlucky to lose on Thursday against the Dragons. In my mind, Corey Norman's contributions to that side were much stronger than Mitchell Moses.
Best game he's had for ages. Yeah. And Jared Hayne also played probably his best game all season, Jared Hayne.
I love your show, mate. I'm 64 today, so I'm getting too old.
No, never too old. Never too old, Doug. Say 64, eh?
I
was going to ask Dougie what your age was, but anyway, you've volunteered it. Stay on the line, mate. We're going to send you out a birthday present, courtesy of the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. What that is, we're not sure. Ray's still trying to get some Godolphin hats.
They're on their way.
Okay, so, mate, we might send you a Godolphin hat. Good on you, Dougie. Appreciate that. Was it Shane Dye who once rode so wide he was riding on the moon? Paul from Wenty.
The Andacross 92 Caulfield Cup.
Yeah, he found that trying to find the best going, wasn't
he? He still maintains he did nothing wrong that day, Shane.
There you go. Great interview in one-on-one, you and Shane Dye.
Well, I think he just controlled the whole thing, did he? Shane, as he always does. Well, he's a fascinating man.
It was I should have said great monologue from Shane Dye. One-on-one.
He's fascinating.
1353 53, the open line number. Oh, here we go. Hello,
Midnight's early.
Yeah. Go on, say it, Ray.
G'day, Raymond.
Good morning, Midnight.
How are you, boys?
Terrific, mate.
Hey, just talking to Jay Ford, I just thought about one of his rides last week at Caravali.
Yes, Randwick,
Did you see the nice gesture from the connections? They donated their prize winning check to the Mark Hughes Foundation.
Yeah, the Crosby family. It was very nice of them. Yeah, post
so
that.
If karma comes around, I'm going to follow this Caravali.
Yeah.
It deserves a few wins. So what do you want? I'm down at Macca's, Jimmy.
Hang on, where are you?
Macca's.
Right.
Having a coffee and a burger.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can give you the Aussie Big Mac team, or I can give you the changes that are needed to the Queensland side.
Well, give us your Aussie Big Mac team, and then maybe we might have time for the changes as well. Fire away.
Well, I'd give you the Queensland one next week.
Well, that's true. That's true. Righto, give us your Big Mac team.
Righto. These are all Aussies. Play for Australia. Fullback, Alan McKean.
Yeah.
Yep.
Wingers, Alan McIndoe and Alan McMahon.
Yeah, good players, yeah.
Centers, Mark McGaw and Paul McGregor.
Mm-hmm.
Hard, Ross McKinnon and Chris McKibbitt.
Oh, yeah. Chris McKibbitt was a superstar.
Bruce McGuire. The second row, Paul McCabe and Bob McCarthy.
Good players both, yeah.
Trop, Gordon McLennan and Barry McTaggart.
Didn't
know. And
hooker,
Ken McCaffrey.
Ken McCaffrey. Now, your coach would be, or Bob
That's
McCarthy.
Obvious, Jimmy.
What's that?
That's obvious.
Fire away.
John McDonald.
Who was it?
John McDonald.
John McDonald,
of course.
Queenslander, yeah. There you go. Look, it's not your most entertaining side, but I'll tell you what, it's
on the money.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, mate, I've been on for over 12 months.
Oh, hang on. Now you're going to complain about the work conditions, are you? Mate, you take that up with HR Midnight.
Actually, hey, it was over 12 months ago. I come on with my car team for Scott Foster. It's Steve Foster and son.
Yeah.
Yes, so it's been over 12 months since I bought the car off him.
There you go.
And you'll have no specials today because he's always run fourth yesterday.
Everything will be at full price, you reckon?
Oh, yeah, mate. Lucky I bought it last year, eh?
Good timing. Good on you, Midnight.
You have a good weekend. And if you're going to Taree.
Yeah.
I've got an Omen bet in the first.
Oh, here
God,
we go.
I'm hot.
Omen bet in the first?
God, I'm hot.
Who's that an omen bet for?
It's for him, he said.
All up in the last, so shy.
Oh, yes,
sums
exactly.
You up magnificently,
exactly.
Midnight.
Exactly, Midnight. Good on you, mate.
All right, boys, have a good weekend.
Yeah,
you too. Thanks,
I was going to say we'll speak next week. It's almost like he's got his own segment. I thought he was looking for an urn then.
Oh, I think he's just happy to come on.
I thought he was looking for an urn. By the way, if you want to be a part of the quiz, call now. Score update?
15-10, James Smith.
Call now on 1353 53 if you want to be a part of the quiz. That's courtesy of Event Cinemas in there at George Street, and we're about to tell you very shortly about what they're doing there. Prakash and the team are doing some great things. You seen something, Raymond?
Trev from Canberra, just reading over your shoulder. Obscure sports stars have popped up. Stephen Bradbury on top of the dice at the Winter Olympics. It's very clever.
That's
Trev
not bad.
From Canberra.
Good on you, Trev. Double asterisks for you on that one. 1353 53 if you want to be a part of the Event Cinemas quiz.
Like the chance to win one of 16 holidays for two to Fiji? The chance is yours if you're a Panthers Penrith member. Every Friday night, a trip for two will be won in Panthers Fiji Friday. Become a member for just $5 and score a ticket into the draw. Then earn one ticket a day just by swiping. Plus additional tickets when you purchase food and drinks and when you mention the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend at the Members Centre. Penrith Panthers, home to 11 restaurants, 7 bars, live entertainment and Fiji Friday. Sign up today at panthers.com.au.
And here is the champion. Cracksman wins the champion in fantastic style.
The only place to catch the very best equine superstars from around the globe, first time, every time, is right here. Live and exclusive across the Sky Racing Network.
Fiji Friday, Panthers Penrith gives you the chance to score one of 16 holidays for two to Fiji. Naturally, you've got to be a member. So, what are you waiting for? Join today. For just $5.
That's all it costs, James. $5.
And score a ticket into the draw straight away. Then earn one ticket a day just by swiping. Mm-hmm. Plus, additional tickets when you purchase food and drinks. And when you mention the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
Careful.
At the Members Centre.
Careful.
Panthers Penrith. Home to 11 restaurants, 7 bars, live entertainment and Fiji Friday. Every Friday during June and July.
Ossos. Filet mignon. Hard to beat, James.
We have to work out two things.
Mm.
The day that we come out to Penrith.
Yes.
And the restaurant we go to.
Well, I think we must get... Well, lovely Tracy like pizza or...?
Oh, she doesn't mind. She whatever.
Osso's or Panarotti's. Flip a coin.
Sign up today at panthers.com.au.
listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Event Cinema's quiz time. Ray's twisted my arm and allowed him to go second, which means he's player two, which is an even number, which makes all the stars align for Ray.
I opened the batting last week.
So right, okay. What time was the alarm set for this morning?
4:46, but I didn't need it. I was up way before that, sadly.
So we've got our two players here. By the way, brought to you by Event Cinemas, and you know what Prakash has done in there? He's really tidied things up in at George Street.
What's the latest news from Prakash?
In the sequel to the 2015 action-packed thriller, Josh Brolin and Benicio Del Toro are back on the big screen in Sicario, Day of the Soldado. Only this time, there are no rules. See it now in the luxury of gold class at Event Cinemas at George Street. Get your tickets now at eventcinemas.com.au. By the way, No Country for Old Men, these two actors were in as well. They are brilliant actors, Josh Brolin and Benicio Del Toro.
You say it very well, Jim.
Benicio Del Toro. Did you see No Country for Old Men?
I'm trying to think which one. Is that the four old blokes or something and a bit violent?
No. Benicio Del Toro, he's got an air gun that he shoots bullets out of. He plays a maniac and he plays it so well. Tell you what, made me scared of him. Anyway, let's go to Dino, who's online. Hello, Dino.
Morning, Jimmy.
All right, mate, we need you to have a little win here. What are you laughing at, Dino?
He's waiting for the question.
What's that? Playing for $1 million.
Believe me, Dean, it's so competitive. The cartons of beer never taste so good at the end of the year.
By the way, Dean, I've got a carton of beer in the back of the car for Ray because my phone went off in the studio the other day. And he forced me into paying up.
No, so. I didn't. I just said it's the golden rule.
You said don't walk into this studio again unless you turn up with a carton of beer.
I didn't say that. I just said the golden rule is, you know what happens if your phone goes off. Sorry, Dean.
Anyway,
concentrate.
Dean.
Here we go, mate.
Sheep stations here, Dean. Sheep stations. Okay. Question one. Where are the South Sydney Rabbitohs playing this afternoon?
Can you give me a hint?
I'd love to, but we can't.
You can't?
No. Nah.
What about Olympic Stadium?
No. Nah. Sorry, mate. Barlow Park at Cairns. Barlow Park. They've been taking a game up there for the last couple of years. Question two. In the round robin stage of the FIFA World Cup, only one team did not concede any goals. Which country's defence achieved this feat? Was it A, Brazil, B, Croatia, or C, Uruguay?
Uruguay.
Well done.
Solid dance.
We used to beat Uruguay for fun, didn't we, back in the day?
They're through to the quarterfinals now.
Correct. Question three. Wimbledon gets underway tomorrow night. Who is the men's top single seed? Is it A, Roger Federer, B, Andy Murray, or C, Rafael Nadal?
Rafael Nadal.
Oh! It's Roger Federer.
Oh. They're sort of on and off. They're world number one, aren't they?
Yeah.
Taking turns.
Stay on the line, mate. Stay on the line.
Maybe the grass of Wimbledon might have tipped there. Scales in Roger's favour there with the seatings.
You don't care, mate. It's just that Dean got it wrong. That's
no,
it.
No,
look
no.
at the smirk on your face. Old sneaky competitive Thomas.
Jeez, you're a hard man. Well, move on.
You try to smother that.
Oh, no, I didn't. Mick, you on the line?
Yeah, good morning, Ray.
Good morning, Mick. Hey, Mick, we've got to beat this guy because he's one of those moods today. Here we go. Question number one. Who won last year's women's single Wimbledon title?
Serena Williams.
Garbiin Muguruza. Is he pronounced it, Jim?
Muguruza.
Yeah, beat Venus Williams in the final.
Tough question, I've got to say.
That was tough
question, yeah.
Here we go. We'll get back on track here, Mick. Question number two. Australia finished bottom of Group C at the World Cup. Which of these countries also finished bottom of their group? Was it A, Germany, B, Saudi Arabia, C, South Korea?
Saudi Arabia.
It was Germany, which is extraordinary.
Germany.
Yeah, here we go. Here we go, Mick. Question number three. We need this one. Who made the most tackles in State of Origin 2? Was it A, Damien Cook, B, Andrew McCulloch, C, James Tedesco?
Andrew McCulloch.
Yeah, spot on, Mick. He's a tackling
machine.
That's
ridiculous. James Tedesco is a ridiculous
Sit
option.
Sit down, Jim. Doesn't matter. Mick's all over this. Tiebreaker. I go first, correct?
Yes.
Here we go, Mick. We're on a roll now. This is the tiebreaker question. Mal Meninga has scored the second most points in State of Origin history. How many points has he scored? And the answer, Mick, is between 100 and 200 points.
I'll go 125.
Okay, stay on the line.
Stay on the line, Mick. Mick, Dean, back to you. The question is, as a tiebreaker, Mal Meninga has scored the second most points in State of Origin history. How many points has he scored? The answer is between 100 and 200. Dino?
Yep, I'll go 57.
157. You are the nearest to it.
Dino, you've done it. Well done. You've helped him extend his lead.
161. 161 is the answer. So
you're pretty close, Dean. Well done, mate.
Good on you, mate. No sheep station for you, but we've got double pass, courtesy of Event Cinemas, with the tickets that I left at home. I left them at home.
And so you're throwing a few CDs
just saying to Tan. We'll throw in some Sony Music CDs as well. So stay on the line, Dino. Most importantly, though, we just do a little score update over here.
16. It's 16. It's a bit like the gap between the top eight and the bottom eight, is it? Is it unassailable now?
I'm going to call you the Canberra Raiders.
Very clever.
Canberra Raiders. So you know what we were calling you earlier? No. Because how slow you are with your batting.
Slow?
Well, you said elegant, and I said you're a knicker and nudger.
That's right.
You know what we're calling you? Chris Taver Ray Thomas.
Who's we?
I'm a mate, Wildy. Paul Wild and I. He was an opening batsman. He's a bit more attacking than you. So Chris Taver Ray Thomas.
You never seen me bat.
No, that's right. You're like Jerry Seinfeld. You refuse to run. You refuse to bat.
Mate, that is a good episode.
You said, I'm an elegant batsman. Well, show me.
When did I say elegant?
You said you're an elegant batsman.
That doesn't sound like me.
I said you're a knicker and nudger. Somewhere in between is the truth.
Probably.
And I think we'll never know.
Listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
And welcome back to the show with Jim and Ray. Now that time to talk all things rugby league with my good friend Dean Bulldog Richie. Dino's on the line. Good morning, Dino.
Good morning, boys. How are we?
Terrific. Hey, Dino, first thing we've got to do, I'd love to ask you if you have any chance to give us an update on Kalyn Ponga's injury and is he a chance to play Origin 3?
Ray, having scans up in Newcastle this morning, so quite clearly, until those results come back, we don't know categorically. But look, as Jimmy would know, being a former first grader, 11 days isn't a lot when you're trying to get over a hamstring injury. I just can't see Kevin Walters taking the risk. Look, he's young, he's strong, no doubt he'll be back earlier than what people think, but I just can't see Kevin taking the punt on Ponga for that game. So what that does leave, if he is out, you would think that Daly Cherry-Evans would certainly come into strong calculations. He played well for Manly against Penrith yesterday, and if he did start Cherry, that would leave Moses and Mbai, Milford and Ben Hunt, you would imagine, to fight for a bench place. So certainly some concerns for Kev, because Ponga, of course, was so strong in Origin 2.
I reckon they'd be happy with what they got out of him, though. They've given him the Origin experience. They know he'll be fullback next year. And as you say, with a hamstring injury, it's too hard 11 days out, knowing whether you're going to be right and letting the team
and
down. The series is gone. That's right. If it was 1-1, then a different situation. Just on Origin, TV numbers down, Dino. That, you know, I don't know whether it's Sunday night. I don't know whether it's the short lead-in, which we spoke about last week. There's nothing wrong with the game of footy. Do you have any idea what it is? Do you have any idea what Channel 9 / the NRL might do next year?
I was actually quite surprised, Jimmy. I know that some TV executives before the game were tipping that they thought that they would burst through the 4 million mark for a peak audience around the five cities. Look, I just can't put my finger on it. I thought Sunday night would be ideal. It's a great night to stay in. It's a great night for not going out, essentially. Look, everyone's got to front up to work on Monday, but that's the same with Wednesdays for Thursday. So I can't put my finger on it. I was a bit surprised that Peter Beattie went on social media suggesting barbecues and a 4 o'clock kickoff. That would indicate to me that he isn't quite across the nuances and success of television ratings. To have an Origin at 4 o'clock would seem bizarre. I can't see a Channel 9 going down that path.
Yeah, no, it's really interesting. I'm with you, Dino. I can't quite work out why it didn't work. Hey, Dino, just on the Origin theme there, Nathan Clear has come out this morning. Jimmy and I were discussing it earlier. Look, I know it's an old chestnut, but if there was some way of having the rep rounds over 3 or 4 weeks, getting him out of the way all at once, because he believes the football at club level suffers during this period of representative footy. Well, is there any opportunity of this happening, Dean, do you think?
I don't think so, Ray. Look, I know the NRL have told me about a week ago that they would be reticent and reluctant to put it on hold for any more than 1 week. You just lose too much momentum. I think I heard someone tell me secondhand Gus was calling for a 6 to 8 week break to get all those rep games played, et cetera, et cetera. But look, I think one's enough. We can't afford to lose momentum. It's just too difficult to pick it back up. But it's a dilemma that's been going on for 38 years since Origin started, Ray. But I think they've pretty much got it right now. The rep round was fantastic, but let's just leave it at 1 week.
Dino, Jack Whiten was not stood down by his club, but was stood down by the NRL, and the speculation is that he will be stood down for the rest of the year. What are you hearing coming out of the Canberra Raiders and the NRL about what's going to happen with Jack Whiten?
I'm hearing, Jimmy, that the NRL is putting some considerable pressure on Canberra to take some decisive action. At the moment, they haven't stood him down. He'll appear back in court on Wednesday, as I understand. He has pleaded guilty to 2 charges. Look, there is a maximum penalty here of, I think it's 5 years in prison. For Jack's, like, that doesn't come to that quite clearly, but obviously we have to think of the victims as well. But look, at the moment, look, you know, he hasn't been stood down, but I think you'll find after Wednesday, when we know the outcome of the court case, the Raiders will act swiftly, and it wouldn't surprise me if, in fact, Whiten is stood down for the remainder of this season.
Watch your space. Hey, Dan, we had a caller earlier saying Corey Norman potentially to Manly. Are you hearing anything along those lines?
Yeah, I have heard that same rumour, Ray. It is just a rumour at the moment. I think Jimmy nailed it a few moments ago by saying he won't be at Parramatta next year. I just can't see how it's going to happen. There's the ongoing speculation about a player swap with Blake Austin. Leeds in England, I'm hearing too, are chasing Blake Austin. I think Norman will definitely be out of Parramatta at the end of the year. I think they need a change-up. They've had a poor season. They're looking at a wooden spoon. I don't think Brad Arthur, who next year, I might add, will be fighting to save his own job, can go into next season with the same halves.
Just on Parramatta, there's a lot of speculation around what's happening at a board level there and an administration level. It's funny to think that a team that is running 16th with a lot of talent in that squad, the person under least amount of pressure seems to be Brad Arthur.
Yeah, that's not quite the case, I don't think, Jimmy. I think he earned enough brownie points last year to cope with this year. But next year, if they start poorly and they've got a few internal issues as they had this year and a few players behaving, you know, he'll be right there in front of the board, Brad Arthur. Take it as read that, look, he's there for now. And they're backing him publicly and strongly, but a poor start next year after 6 to 8 rounds, and his position will certainly be under scrutiny, and he knows that.
And what was your take on the Cooper Cronk, Cameron Smith, you know, a handshake but not the hug that he seemed to be giving everyone? I think earlier we had Ray liken it to, say, a Daily Telegraph Christmas party where you and he basically walk past each other. It's just a nod and just
time.
Go on your own way. Could we liken it to that, Dean?
Well, I wouldn't blame Ray generally, but he just went pretty handy kicked with the bill. Ray's known to be very, very careful, Jimmy, with his coins.
Is that right?
And he's got every coin minted with all his gigs.
Oh, hasn't he? What? You know when he came in here early complaining about tax? Oh, it's a good problem to have.
He pays more tax than I do in my way.
Oh, jeez. If you blokes own you, product of a divorce, Dino, put you back a long, long way, I can tell you.
Hey, guys, I'll just run through a bit of news before we go.
Thank you. Move on.
We just spoke about Kalyn Ponga. I'm hearing the Knights may soon open negotiations with him. He's under lock and cap there till 2021.
Got to.
But I'm hearing they're starting to think, you know what, let's nail this kid down now, quickly and long term. So watch for negotiations to kickstart up there. And I'm also hearing the Manly salary cap appeal, which has been going on for months now over those breaches from earlier this year. I'm hearing it could be this week when the NRL makes some decision there. And just on the Seagulls too, I'm hearing there may be just a little bit of interest in Sharks winger Sasaya Fecky, who's not getting a great run down there at Toyota Stadium this year. So watch for him maybe to consider an offer from Manly.
Okay. Changes to today's teams. Leichhardt oval at 2 o'clock, Tigers and the Titans.
Yeah, 18,000 will be there. Give me for that game. Ben Madalino out of the Tigers. Chris McQueen comes in. Of course, the afternoon, though, will revolve around Robbie Farah, Moses and Bai. They're playing their first games back